Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. It is Tuesday night, and we're glad to be here. And this is the place to be if you want to be ministered to and hear the prophetic word of the Lord, the voice of God in the earth today. One of the voices, there's only one voice in the earth, and that's the voice of the Holy Spirit. But through this particular ministry, we thank you for being a part of it. Very, very cool, and very exciting to have all of you a part and doing what God tells us to do. We do our best to do that, and that way the Lord always wins. We win because he wins, right? We're on his side. Yeah, all right, so welcome to that place, and we are here to help you find your way to learning about the voice of God and, you know, learn to begin to hear the voice of God, know the voice of God. Because we all can have that. You don't need me to do it for you, right? You know that. I do certain things as a shepherd for the sheep to do that nobody else can do but a shepherd, right? Shepherds have certain things that they do, and fivefold ministry people, whatever you want to call them, and they're appointed and called, and they do it, and nobody else can do that except the shepherds, right? That's why God appointed shepherds. So, but everybody has their part, and when you find your part and you start doing your part, every part matters because every part is a piece of the puzzle. So do your part. Do whatever God's telling you to do and listen to him and know that, you know, without you, he may not get done what he wants done, right? I mean, he's going to get a job done one way or the other, but he wants to do it through you. He wants you to receive the reward of it, the reward of good job. Right? We all want that, for sure. We all want to hear the Lord say, good job, whatever your name is, right? And say your name, your first and last name, and middle, maybe, whatever you need to hear to know that he's talking to you. Yeah, so very, very cool. And hopefully you are doing whatever God's telling you to do on a regular basis because, you know, it's what you do daily that can bless you or destroy you, right? It's what you do daily. It's the daily thing that you do. You have habits that are good habits that God is giving you, and you do them daily, then, friend, you're going to have blessings. If you have habits that you do that are not of God, then they don't really matter what you call them, but they are, when they're not good habits that God has given you to do, and you're doing them, then it's going to cause you, you're going to reap from that. So negative stuff. It doesn't matter what anybody tells you. The reaping and sowing hasn't stopped. Thank God. If it had, you wouldn't be reaping blessings, right? Yeah. So knowledge, like we reap and sow good things, we reap and sow negative things. Things that we sow, we're in control of that, believe it or not. That's what one of the things that we're in control of is blessings. So, you know, get a hold of that, understand that, and know that you know, God is giving you control, if you will, or authority to do his will, to do his purposes. And when you do them, you reap the rewards of it. When you don't, you don't. Right? It's really just as simple. Hang on a second here. I don't know why it's not letting me on the site tonight. It's letting me do other things, but it's not letting me on my site, on the site tonight. On the site tonight. With a fight. Wow. That is really weird. Okay. Anyway, we'll get to that later. But so it's really, really good to know that, you know, what God is wanting us to do is walk in his will and his purposes. And when we do that, we're blessed, right? When we do that, we're blessed. When we don't do it, we're not blessed. And so that's really what we, you know, need to see and understand. It's really in our hands. The God has already set it all up. He's already done all the work. Now we just enter into the labor with him, into the work, the finished work. There's work, but it's finished work. And when you enter into that, you enter into what God is doing, and you receive the benefits of that, right? Everything else, you don't. you don't receive the benefits. It becomes a negative thing. So you're fighting that, and a lot of our warfare is we reap what we sow, and when we're doing that, we're building up the things that fight us, that hinder us, that stop us, that keep us from entering in. Yeah, I mean, really, entering in. Right. So learn how to do that. Learn how to remember that if you think you're going to reap good things, you're not going to reap the bad things, you're fooling yourself. Seed time and harvest is still going on, whether we like it or not. Don't let anyone deceive you. God is not mocked, the Bible says. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Right? Yeah, you know that. Let's look at that for a second. Let's show this again. My internet's trying to miss something. Okay, Galatians 6:7 says, "Be not deceived." In other words, don't let the devil deceive you. If you think you can just do whatever you want, and it's like, "Oh God, forgive me," you know, and you do it again tomorrow, and then your repentance is not sincere, and when it's not sincere, your sins are not being forgiven. Right? You know, it doesn't mean you're going to hell. Having your sins forgiven you doesn't send you to hell. Sin does not send you to hell, friend. Well, you don't want to be doing it because it messes you up, right? So we got to get this balanced out. But being born again is what gets you to heaven. And once you're born again of God, your spirit man never sins again, never. Your soul sins, your body sins. Good. So when you do sin in your soul, make up your mind you're going to do something you know that you shouldn't do. You haven't really waited on God about it. You sow that, you're going to reap it. So don't be deceived about it. God is not mocked. I mean, sometimes we mock God. Oh, you know, I can't figure out why, you know, everything's just going wrong for me. I've done that plenty of times. You go like, yeah, God goes, yeah, you're reaping what you're sowing, son. Yeah, just because you have unforgiveness doesn't mean you're going to hell. It just means God's not forgiving you. Unforgiveness is one of the biggest things that says your Heavenly Father will not forgive you. Well, if you've already been born again, you know, that has nothing to do with your salvation. It has to do with, you know, those sins building up in you that hinder you from walking in the earth. We got to get this right, y'all. We got to get this right because we don't understand this. Understand the Word of God and get our foundations right. When you sin and you have unforgiveness, and you keep persisting in that unforgiveness, you will be cast not into the lake of fire forever and ever to burn. You'll be cast outside the walls of the church eventually, right? You'll be cast outside where the devils ran rampant. You remember what Paul did to the one who was committing incest? Remember that? And he turned him over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh and the saving of his soul. Y'all remember that? Well, you know, now I understand that what he was doing was he was putting him outside the protective walls of, not physical walls, but spiritual walls of the church. He was excommunicating him, so to speak. I don't know if excommunicating is right, but he disengaged him from the church, because when the church got together and said, well, he hasn't repented, he didn't want to repent, he's spreading it around everywhere, it's defiling the body of Christ, he's not stopping it, so we've got to do something. And Paul says, yeah, we're going to cast him into outer darkness. Not eternal outer darkness, but outer darkness, meaning in the earth realm, outside the protection of the church. And so unforgiveness will do that to you, as well as, you know, any kind of sin that where you're in rebellion and you're passing that sin around and you're defiling the body of Christ and you're so blind you can't see what's going on. God's going to deal with you, friend. He doesn't want to deal with you like that, but he will deal with you, deal with me, he'll deal with all of us. people say, well, I don't understand why I keep having just one hindrance after the other. Well, probably because you're, God's telling you what to do, and you're not doing it. You're reaping corruption. Right? It goes on to what it says. It says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Period. So if you're reaping a bunch of bad stuff, I mean reaping it, not having a battle, reaping it. Reaping it is harvest. You know, when you reap something, let's look at the word reap here, just for the fun of it. What do you say? Let's look up the word reap. Reap, cut or gather a crop of harvest. Woo, got that one right on. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to flow tonight. All right, so it's talking about harvest. I'm not talking about some battle you're going through. It's talking about what are you harvesting on a regular basis. If what you're harvesting is what your results are all the time are, you know, in the flesh and corrupt, you know, and it's always happening to you, there's something you haven't dealt with, you know, most of the time. Now, there are times, you know, if you're a really righteous man before God and, you know, that God's testing you, it can be a different thing. But most people are not righteous like Job was righteous. I mean, Job was a righteous man and a wealthy righteous man. When you're righteous and wealthy, or wealthy and righteous, that is a very unique individual. Yeah. I mean, it's extremely unique. So if you're not rich and wealthy and righteous and wealthy or whatever, righteous and wealthy, wealthy and righteous, whatever, if you're not that, you're probably not, you know, going to be tested like that. So it's not the same thing. So don't use, you know, well, you know, I'm just, you know. Let's try to ask God to show us what's going on. And it goes on to say, you know, be not mocked, for God, for a man sows whatever man sows, that shall he also reap or harvest, right? For he that soweth to his flesh shall also of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. In other words, if you're doing scriptural things in the flesh, you're not going to reap blessings from the Word of God because you're doing it in the flesh. You're doing it because it's your own inspiration. It's your own thing. It's your own way. But when you're doing things according to when the Spirit of God, when you love the Spirit, when you love Jesus, when you love God, and you're letting God love you, what you do is you walk in the Spirit. And when you walk in the Spirit, you don't fulfill the lust of the flesh, it says. You fulfill the righteousness of God Almighty. In other words, you don't find yourself wanting to sin. That doesn't mean you don't get tempted. Doesn't mean you don't have battles. But it means you don't sin. You don't have, and then when you sin, then you have a harvest, right? You reap a harvest from that, and that's what we don't want to do. That's what I'm trying to stop in my life, stop in your life, stop in everybody's life, right? And so the sooner you realize that, if you're saying a bunch of, you know, if you're doing words and actions that are of the flesh, you're going to reap that. Hang on just a second. What we're saying is that if you're reaping a harvest, it says you sow whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. When you're reaping something, that's more like harvest. That's not struggles and battles, right? So we're trying to really make that clear. And so if your harvest, if the result of what you've been doing for a season, because it's seasonal, and your harvest are continual poverty, strickenness, and you end up just in with sickness and disease and suffocating you all the time, friend, there's some type of something you need to change and turn around. And the reason we got to confront this is because a lot of our harvest of, you know, sickness, disease, oppression, many times the devil being able to do whatever he wants to do with us, you know, it's like we can't control any of it. You know, that's harvest. That's a harvest. It's not just necessarily just a battle you're going through. This is a harvest time. What's your harvest look like? What's it looking like? Honestly, come on. I want you to think about that, because we got to change that and ask God to show up. You think because you don't smoke, dip, strip, and chew like you used to, that's righteousness? Well, hopefully if you used to do that and you went back into doing that, you probably have some problems. You definitely in sin. But you know, if that's what you're considering, you're basing your righteousness on, and that you think you're living in righteousness because you're not doing those things anymore, righteousness is obeying God. Righteousness in doing what the Spirit says. Where he that sows to the flesh, it doesn't matter what religious thing you're doing in the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. Corruption is just simply not God's will, not God's purposes, because anything that's not God is corruptible. In other words, you're going to be easily corrupted if you keep doing this stuff. You're going to find yourself in corruption. In other words, you know, like we talk about corrupt governments, corrupt people, corrupt things. You're going to end up being a corrupt person, a corrupt mother, a corrupt father, a corrupt whatever it is, businessman. Why? Because what happens after a while is we get harvest after harvest of that. And it's because of we're corrupt. We have become corrupt, and we haven't realized. So what do? We repent, we get right with God, and then we begin to sow to the Spirit. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall reap of the Spirit life everlasting, shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Right? So we're talking about not just going to heaven. We're talking about, you know, everlasting life every day in your life. Jesus said, I came to give you life and give it to you abundantly. So walking in that abundance of life, friend, you know, don't be blaming people and everybody else and blaming the devil for everything. If you're not born again, you don't know Jesus, but you're just religious, you know, and you're a good person, that's fine. But you know what? You can't even sow to the Spirit, because you have to be led by the Spirit to sow to the Spirit. In other words, it's not what you don't do. That's self-righteousness. It's what you do. It's what you obey God in. When you obey God in those things, you're going to reap a harvest, right? He's talking about reaping. There he talks, use the word reap again. Reap means harvest. You will harvest everlasting life. You will have seasons of blessings. Yeah, I mean, you don't have battles, but a harvest, when you plant a seed, you have a battle sometimes in being a farmer in weather cycles messing with your crop and that kind of thing. But, you know, so you have battles and things. But when that thing comes to harvest and you haven't got anything there much to harvest, it's all messed up, it's all corrupted, it's all worm-eaten and destroyed for whatever reason because you didn't take care of it properly. I used to be a farmer, I know. You have to take care of things. You have to water things. You have to keep the weeds out. And if you don't keep the weeds out of those crops, it's not the seeds problem, it's the weed problem, right? It's keeping the weeds out. And the ground automatically bears forth weeds. You do, my flesh, your flesh, everybody's flesh, if there's not something sown in there, like really good grass, you know, the weeds just automatically grow. Like when you have crops, you have the corn stalk itself is the only thing growing there. There's not grass all around the ground, so it grows weeds all around it, right? So you have to plow the weeds, cover the weeds up. You have to keep, you know, tilling the garden. Like Adam and Eve tilled the garden. They worked it. And there was no weeds in the garden, by the way. But this is a whole different thing. So when you find yourself overwhelmed and your harvest is not good, it's mixed with a bunch of mess all the time, it's because you're not sowing to the Spirit, right? It's not your religious belief system and what you don't do. It's not it. It's what we do. It's what we do in obeying the Holy Spirit and loving him and letting him love us. And out of that love relationship, you simply obey his voice and do what he says. Sometimes it takes time to learn how to do that, right? So that you reap, a man shall reap what he sowed. Reap his harvest. A man shall sow the Spirit, he shall reap of the Spirit. Blessings, period. That's it. There's no in-between. And, unless you're a very special person who's a mighty apostle or, you know, a the richest man in the earth, right? And you're a righteous rich man, then, you know, things happen differently to those kind of people. That's for sure. But as a general whole, most human beings don't have that going on. You don't have a thorn in the flesh because you've got so much revelation from God that you're going to get arrogant. That's why Paul was given a thorn in the flesh. There are special things that go on with people, and God sent that thorn, you know, and God allowed Satan to, you know, come against Job. God allowed that, so there are special cases, but for the most part, I'm just trying to help you find your way through this stuff, so you can, you know, start being blessed. You're going to have a great harvest. We want you to harvest things that are right, right? You're going to have a battle growing crops. You're going to have a battle, you know, walking with God. Keep the weeds out. Keep it watered. You know, sometimes it rains, and the rain just saves you a lot of work. And sometimes it doesn't rain. You have to get those pipes out and water it. You know, I've done it many times, the water pipe and water things. And it's a lot of work. And so sometimes it's easy and sometimes it's not as easy. Right? Yeah. So, yeah. So anyway, there you go. I don't know who needs to hear that tonight. That was not my message, but there you go. All right. I want to go to some things here. We've talked about the profit thing last night. I don't want to talk about that again tonight. We'll talk about that again later. here's one thing I want you to get a hold of tonight. I want to talk about something just a little bit different. And that is, you know, the battle that we have, I think, between hyper-spiritualism, which I've been very much hyper-spiritual, and been a faith confession person, and, you know, if I didn't have all my faith confession just right, if I said one wrong word, you know, I knew I was going to really, you know, reap a bad harvest, because I, you know, and so, you know, so I was into all this stuff, you know, pretty good, and it just wasn't working. I couldn't figure out what was going on, and I found out that a lot of the things I was doing out of zeal was not doing it out of obeying the Holy Spirit, out of love of God. I was doing it to produce the things that I thought needed to be produced instead of trusting God to produce the will of God in my life. I wanted to be a healing evangelist, basically. And basically, overall, that, you know, that messed me up, because when your main ministry is called to prophesy and speak the word of the Lord and get prophetic things about governments and, you know, economies and markets and that kind of thing, then, and you're trying to have a different kind of, it just doesn't work, right? So there I was trying to do a Christian thing. Now, what's wrong with having a healing ministry? Nothing. It's great, right? And let's just, but it's religious if it's not God's will. In other words, I'm doing a religious thing. I'm doing some good works, but they're not the good works of the Spirit. So what am I continually reaping? Battle, hassles, things I can't handle, because when you're walking in the flesh, and you're, like I was trying to be a healing evangelist and try to do all those things that healing evangelists do, right? Instead of being what I was called to be, a prophet to the economy and to, you know, the church and to governments and the political arena, you know, it's just like there was a lot of battle going on, because I wasn't fully working in the realm of what God had called me to do. So therefore I was weak. I was working on, instead of 8 cylinders, I was working on like 3, right? And so I wasn't popping at full power, because unless you're walking in your calling, friend, you're going to walk in on all 8 cylinders. You're going to walk maybe using 2 or 3 of them for 4. You're trying to be working. So it causes you to be weakened, and therefore you end up, you know, under the pressure, and you can't handle the pressure of that supernatural stuff without God. So if you're called by God to do it, then that's different. If you're called to God to fight pharmaceutical, then you have an anointing, and the anointing will protect you and help you. But if you're not, but if you're called, if you're trying to fight pharmaceuticals and fight the world all the time and not doing your job of being a prophet or whatever you're called to be, then you're going to get whacked on. Yeah, you're going to get whacked on. And you're going to be able to handle the pressure and the power, and eventually they take you out. You know, the spirit takes you, those devils take you out. And you go to heaven, you know, because you love Jesus and you're born again, but you don't get the rewards because you did, you know, you're a religious thing. In other words, I'm trying to have a healing ministry and, you know, that kind of thing. And like Catherine Kuhlman had, because I love her ministry, I love it, you know. But when I found out that wasn't called to that, then all that, most of that labor, though God used it, I still grew in it. I still learned the word in it. You know, I learned how to function with people to a certain degree. It was awesome. But God, when I asked God, what am I really called to do? That's when he showed me. And then I went from doing half-baked, you know, obedience things and learning some things and failing at most things, you know, because I wasn't walking the full will of God. So when you walk in the full will of God and your purpose, then it's no longer a religious thing you're doing. What I was doing, I was not a bad person. I wasn't a hypocrite. You know, I wasn't sinning on the side and trying to have, you know, trying to raise, sell things and make money. And, you know, I wasn't doing any of that stuff. But it was like, but, you know, it didn't matter. Because when you walk in the purposes of God, when you walk in your calling, then you have, then you're popping on all 8 cylinders, you know. Or you might could say all 7 candlesticks of the menorah, of the, you know, of the gifts of the Spirit inside your life. Yeah, so that kind of thing is what I'm talking about tonight. So very cool. Good to be with you tonight. A lot of different things I want to talk about. I can't seem to get off this thing. Donald Trump announced his White House bid tonight. I really like him. I wish if God hadn't shown me his purposes, I would be a Trump man all the way. Yeah, I would be. But I know something better that's coming. Not my will, but thy will be done. So that's kind of going on. Most of you guys probably know that, maybe. I don't know if you know it or not. But that happened tonight. And maybe you're happy about it. Maybe you're not. Maybe it doesn't matter to you. Either way, very interesting. And it's fun to listen to. I love listening to him. And, yeah, going to be interesting to see what goes on the next couple of years. It's going to be crazy, right? Wow, it's going to be crazy. It's going to be fun, crazy. All right, so there you go. So I can't get off this tonight. I wanted to move on to something else. I had something else I wanted to share. But it doesn't look like I'm going to be able to go there yet, at least. Unless it works in there somehow, now. All right. Just some very good things I wanted to share with you guys. Let me look at my notes here. I remember some of the stuff I wanted to share. I got today. Yeah, one of the things I want to talk about was, the remission of sins, and how that we have the power to either forgive or not forgive. Yeah, we have the power to do that. So let's see here. I think I want to go with that just for a moment here and talk about this because it's something God's going to show me. Go here to just for a moment. I want to go to the scripture. I'm trying to find it on my phone here. I know that that sometimes God will deal with you about forgiving people, right? And we talked earlier that the scripture says that that if you do not forgive others, God will not forgive you. So sometimes God will hold back forgiveness of sin. And is it possible for human beings to do that? Can preachers or ministers hold back forgiveness from, someone? And, so I'm going to share a little bit about this right now. I'm going to put it in your ear and get you to think about it and dwell about it. Look when Samuel, and I'm just going to use Samuel as an example. At first, Samuel was probably the greatest prophet, I think, in the Old Testament, and was a great, great, great prophet. Had a prophet school and taught prophets how to prophesy and gave them a chance to grow and learn and make mistakes without being condemned and criticized by the world and by the church. All right, that's what I love about him. And I think that that's going to solve a lot of our problems with prophets doing things. And I don't know how to have order without getting too carried away with it. It's kind of difficult to find a middle ground. It only happened by the Holy Spirit, that's for sure. Yeah, so I want to talk about this just for a moment. So sometimes when you have someone who keeps doing things against you over and over and over and over again, is there ever a time where you can choose to hold back forgiveness to them? And see, there's a difference between you having unforgiveness and you being able to forgive someone, you know, in other words, like Samuel. Samuel with King Saul, y'all remember Samuel and King Saul? Samuel anointed King Saul. And he anointed him and appointed him as king. And so eventually Samuel had some real issues with Saul because Saul just little by little started doing more of his own thing all the time. And pretty soon everything God told Saul to do through the prophet would tell the king, you know, when you go in there and take that city, make sure and don't bring back any of the cattle, kill all the men, women, and children, kill them all. Because obviously they were a bad seed and their DNA was not good. And God was saying to get rid of all of them. There was a reason for that. They were bad seed. And that's the only reason God would tell, you know, an Israelite leader to kill the whole bunch was because their seed, everything about them was unclean. And so so Saul, you know, decided when he got there, he said, man, these cattle, it's a bunch of cattle. You have to kill all these cattle, you know, and kill the king. I don't want to kill the king. I'm going to bring the king back. And he brought the king back and had the sheep and the cattle. And Samuel shows up and he says, you know, hey, Saul, what is this bleeding of the sheep? What's going on here? And who is this king? Who is this guy? He said, oh, he's the king. We brought the king back. He said, well, didn't I tell you, thus saith the Lord, to kill all of them and don't bring back anything because it's, you know, because it was unclean. And Saul goes, well, you know, I just decided to do something different. I feel like it'd be better if we, you know, use these cattle to offer them up to the Lord. Like offering up unclean cattle to the Lord would be, you know, and sheep would be a blessing to God. And God says to Samuel, through Saul, he says, you know, that's a spirit of rebellion. And Saul was just, Even though Samuel warned Israel that Saul was going to be a bad king, he still appointed him because God told him to appoint him. God told Samuel to appoint Saul as king. Give the people what they want, which is kind of what we're dealing with right now. Give the people what they want. And so Samuel, even though it grieved him, he was mad at God. He was mad at the people. He said, these people have, you know, have chosen, you know, to want a king rather than God rule over them. And God said, don't take it personal, Samuel. They don't want you. It's just that they don't want me. They want a king. Give them a king. Give them what they want. And so he did. And he told the people that he was going to use their children and use their sons and their daughters and tax them and do all kinds of things. And they still didn't care. They said, we want a king. So he gave them a king. And so it came time where, when Saul had done the opposite of what God told him, when you go fight with some group, one nation, that he was supposed to just kill them all, and he decided to do the opposite of what God said. And so here's where we see Samuel would not give Saul repentance, because Saul says, you know, can you go before the people and tell them I have repented? Because all the people now knew that Saul didn't do what God said. And so Samuel, everybody revered Samuel. When Samuel appointed a leader, that leader was the leader. When he poured oil on their head and said, thus saith the Lord, it might have taken 15, 20 years for David to become king, but he became king. Right? And so Samuel walked in that authority of a priest. And Jesus told the priesthood, he told the apostles, he said, you have power to remit sins and to either forgive sins or not forgive sins. So in a sense, you know, this may shock some of you, but in a sense, this is what's going on with Samuel, because he had the authority of God. He walked by the voice of God, and the voice of God says, don't forgive him. Samuel, the prophet, says, you are not forgiven. And I'm not going to go before the people and make you look good in front of the people. All right? Saul received you know, King Saul, his heart was revealed that in his heart was not right. So in other words, God was saying, don't forgive him of his sins and set him right before the people, Samuel, because his heart is wicked. So he's not ever going to change. Even though he was the king of Israel appointed by God, he's not going to change. And Samuel, nobody else had the power to do that but Samuel. And Samuel says, Saul, this day the kingdom of Israel has been rent from you and torn away from you because you are not forgiven. I'm not going to forgive you. I'm not going to tell the people you're forgiven. I'm not going to, because Saul said, go out before the people and tell them that I'm forgiven. He wanted to look good in front of the people. And that's the way Saul was. And that's why God says, I'm not going to forgive you of this stuff anymore, because all you want is to please men and do things for men. And that's just the way he was going to be forever. And God knew it. And Samuel was told by God that that's the way Saul was. And he says, you're not forgiven. It's not going to happen. Right? So he says, you are not forgiven. I'm not going to set you right before the people. He begged him. Saul begged him, please go out and tell the people. Because he knew if Samuel didn't tell the people he was forgiven, that the people were going to question him. That's how powerful the prophet still was. And so and Samuel said, your sins are not forgiven you. You now are going to pay. Here's what you reap what you sow. You are now going to pay for what you've done. And here's the apostles' commission right here. It says, then the same day, this is what Jesus gave them power to forgive sin. And there's reasons for forgiving sin. Now, if somebody's truly remittent, truly repentant, hey, it almost sounds the same, doesn't it? But somebody's truly repentant, of course, you know, God forgives the sins. And you agree and you say, yeah, your sins are forgiven you. You know, and sometimes people need to hear that. But, you know, sin forgiveness is between God and man, right? Between God and man. Now, but you have something going on with leadership, like a pastor or somebody who keeps defiling the church. And then you have to come to a point in time where you say, you know, you keep saying you want forgiveness, but then you keep doing the same thing and rebelling and causing trouble in the church, causing trouble in the government, causing trouble, whatever it is. He said, I can't have that. God says, I can't have that anymore. So because they're really not truly repenting and getting right with God, and their heart is still wicked, and they're still going to do the same thing again, because Saul kept doing the same thing over and over and over again. And he thought he'd just keep getting away with it. And pretty soon, God starts dealing. He says, no, you're not forgiven. I'm going to raise up a new king. And so he went and chose David, and he chose to not forgive Saul. In other words, God was not forgiving Saul. That's really what it was. And all the priest was doing was saying, you know, and saying before the people, you are not forgiven. Rebellious, you say you want to change, and yet you never change. So now, right from this time on, before the people, before God, you are not forgiven, and this kingdom has been rent from you, even though it took a few years after that before it was actually taken from him. The kingdom is rent from you, and what, 15 years later, it actually got tore away from him? So you understand. Sometimes, friend, the prophetic word can like when Samuel told him that very day that the kingdom was rent from him. Let me give you that scripture. First Samuel 6:15-27. Let's go here and look at this. I want to teach this tonight because I think we're going to run into some things about this pretty soon. And we're dealing with this with some television networks and some other people in high places that God's dealing with things. And I wanted you guys to kind of learn how this works and how biblical this is and how God gives, you know, a priest, a true God-called minister of God, the power to remit sin. You know, just like Jesus told the disciples, and most people don't understand. I think it's just the Catholic Church and the priests have the power to do that, but it's much different than that. Here's where it says Jesus is saying this. And let me go here. In John chapter 20, verse 19, and on the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were gathered together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." One second. Let me get this to you. I want to get this right. All right. "Peace be with you." When Jesus had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet, the scars. He just died, rose from the dead. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said unto them, "Peace be to you. As your Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this to them, now watch this. Here's what I'm talking about. I want you to understand this. You have to understand it correctly. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit, forgive sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." And so, without going into a long, laborious explanation of this, I'm bringing Samuel into this to kind of explain what goes on. Now, if somebody, we know that if somebody has a heart to get right with God, if their heart wants to get right with God, not just their, if they want to look good before people, they want everybody to know, no, I've been reformed, and they haven't really been reformed, then even the church leadership was taught that Jesus taught them. He said, if someone has a sin, go to them individually. If they don't get it right, bring another person, and then eventually go back and you bring them. If they keep not repenting and truly repenting, because some people say they're repenting and they go back doing the same old thing they've always done. So what do you have to do with those people? You have to, if they're part of the church and the church recognizes it, thinks that they're a born-again believer and that they're growing and trying to get right with God, but they're really not, because we have the proof that they're not, then you have to deal with them in a little bit different way. And that's when God chooses not to forgive them, you know, and bring them before, just like Samuel said, "Saul, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to, you know, go before Israel and make you look good. You're not forgiven." Look at First Samuel 15:27. He says, and here we see him, Samuel doing this. As Samuel turned to go, Saul grabbed the hem of Saul's, when Samuel turned to go, Saul, King Saul, grabbed the hem of Samuel's robe and tore it. And so Samuel said to him, "The Lord has torn his kingdom, the kingdom of Israel, from you today and has given it to your neighbor who is better than you. Moreover, the glory of God, the glory of Israel does not lie or change his mind. For he is not a man that he should change his mind. Moreover, the glory of Israel does not lie or change his mind. For he is not a man that he should change his mind." And we go on. Let's go here for a second. We're going to have to get into this just for a moment, so hang with me. Because it says in verse 26, Samuel talking to Saul after he came back and didn't do what God said. Look at verse 24. "Then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord in your words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice," which he always did anyway. "And therefore, please pardon my sin and return with me that I may worship the Lord." And Samuel said to Saul, "I will not return with you, for you have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you from being king over Israel." In other words, when he said, "Forgive me of my sin," this particular sin was causing Samuel to rend the guard. God was rending the kingdom from Saul. He was not going to be king anymore. In other words, God says, "You're not forgiven." Saul says, "Samuel, I have sinned." In other words, priest of God, "I have sinned, for I have transgressed against the commandment of the Lord in your words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now, therefore, please pardon my sin." But you know what? Saul understood that Samuel was a different kind of breed of person. He was a man of God. And he knew that he had authority and power to, you know, change kingdoms. And, you know, prophets have amazing power of God even to this day to anoint kings and leaders of countries. And we'll talk about this sometime more in the future, but so Saul, the king, whom Samuel appointed, whom God told him to appoint, says, "Forgive me of my sin." Samuel said, "No way. You're not going to be forgiven. You are rejected. Therefore, you are not forgiven of your sin. Therefore, in that sense, y'all, Samuel had the power to not forgive him of his sin, mainly because God wasn't. But whatsoever is bound on earth is bound in heaven. Whatsoever is loosed on earth is loosed in heaven. And he was being, you know, he was not being forgiven. God says, you know, it was God saying through the prophets are supposed to say what God is saying, not what they think, not what they wish, not what they would do if they were God. That's my latest one. Not what they would do if they were God. So there are special cases, friend. There are times, and we'll talk about the scripture more, but I'm talking about this for a reason because of what's going to go on with our nation and the globe. That's why I'm bringing this up. This is not just a little teaching that I'm trying to blow your mind. If you don't have to forgive people's sin. It's not that at all. It's something completely different. So I need you to listen very closely if you can, because it's something you need to learn. Then he said, I have sinned, yet honor me. Verse 30, Saul says, I've sinned. You know, please forgive me. Verse 30 says, I've sinned, yet honor me now, please, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and return with me that I may worship the Lord your God. You know what? He was rejected, even though he did not literally lose the kingship for a while, because God was getting ready to train David, and he needed Saul to train David, not train him in the ways of Saul, but train him in the ways of how to trust God when you have somebody chasing you down trying to kill you that is the king. That was a training. And some of you know what I'm talking about. Maybe you're in the middle of that. I don't know. So Samuel turned back after Saul. So Samuel turned back after Saul, and Saul worshiped the Lord. Then Samuel said, bring Agag, king of the Amalekites, here to me. And so Agag came to him cautiously, and Samuel killed him with a sword. Yeah, and so then David goes and anoints. Samuel goes and anoints David. Samuel goes and anoints David. And so this has to do with some of the things we're talking about tonight, and we're putting it all together. And I give a little here, a little there, so you understand. When I do things like this, I'm laying the foundation for something. I'm not just trying to blow your mind with the scripture about you have the power to not forgive somebody. It's not like that, like it may sound, but it is literally in the sense that I'm giving it to you. Right? So when God tells me, like when Moses, you know, chose to strike the rock, you know, in a sense, you know, God was not forgiving him for that. God didn't forgive him. You know, and when God doesn't forgive you, like we talked about Donald Trump, so let's mix all this together. You know, when I gave the word back when Donald Trump was losing, had lost to Biden, and the inauguration hadn't quite happened yet, and I'm telling you guys, he's not going to come back in, it's not going to happen, it's not going to work, you know, what God told me was that he hadn't forgiven Trump because Trump kept striking the rock. He had a kind of a little bit different spirit about him tonight, like he's not striking the rock, but I don't know how long it's going to last. Because that's his heart, man. He's a rock striker. And at one time, it was important to do, and he did a good job of it. And the water came out, and God's people got fed. It was an awesome thing when he became president first. But then God says, told me to tell him, don't be striking the rock anymore. Quit striking the rock. You've done good. Your first 4 years were amazing. You don't need to strike the rock anymore, dude. You've paved the way for something glorious. Now just take it on and move forward. And he didn't do it. And therefore, to this day, he calls himself, he would have had trouble anyway. He had a lot more trouble than he brought a lot of trouble on himself. And like they said tonight, when I watched them talk about him after he announced his election at night, his that he's running for president 2024, that they said, man, if he keeps up that talk, he will be unbeatable. Even Mike Huckabee said, and I know Mike Huckabee, you know, to be a fine man, and an intelligent man, and a man of God. Mike Huckabee is not just a politician or a good guy. He's a man of God. And he said tonight that if Trump keeps on message, if he does, which is a really big if, it'll be a miracle. And who knows, that he said he will be unbeatable. That's what Huckabee says. Of course, Huckabee's not a prophet. But the thing is that when God says somebody's not forgiven for something, then Moses, that was different Moses. He didn't go to hell. He wasn't back going to hell. He didn't get unforgiven. God didn't hold unforgiven. You know, he said, you're not forgiven, Moses. I told you not to strike the rock, to speak to the rock. I said, don't strike it, speak to it. And you did just the opposite. And you didn't sanctify me before the people. Therefore, you are not forgiven. And God didn't forgive him. See, you have to understand, friend, not being forgiven has nothing to do with you going to hell. Forgiveness has nothing to do with going to hell. Being born again is what saves you from hell. If you sin after that, I mean, God forbid that you sin, but he's going to reap what you sow. Look what Moses reaps, right? Look what Moses reaped from that. He lost his the very thing God told him he was going to do. God told him he was going to take him in. And he stopped himself by sinning. Friend, you don't want to sin. Oh, I can get forgiveness, no big deal. Yeah, but you know what? It doesn't work like that. God, it just doesn't work like that. And if you're trying to get by with something, you can't drink by, you can still go to heaven, but you know what you do? You'll miss your whole purpose. The very thing you've been created and born to do, you will miss that, just like Moses did and others. So don't forget that. That's the lesson behind all these things. With David also, King David, Marcus Lamb, Jimmy Swaggart, you know, those people. Jim Baker, they still may be out there, but they're not doing it. They had, you know, there's, anyway, y'all know what I'm talking about. Okay, so let's stop right there and try to move on. So I hope you understand what I'm saying tonight, that as a priest, you know, even Jesus moved into the New Testament. What happened with Ananias and Sapphira? That was New Testament, New Covenant. They came into the throne room of God, if you will, talking to Peter. And Peter said, you know, you sinned against God. You've lied to God. And obviously God says you're not forgiven. So, boom, they were dead, both of them. You see what I'm saying? So he was not forgiven. If Peter could have said, oh, God, hang on a second, God, no, don't kill him. God, I'm going to speak forgiveness over him. And God would say, nah, I'm not forgiving him. How can you forgive him when I'm not forgiving him? Well, because you told us we could forgive. Yeah, you forgive as I forgive. If I'm holding unforgiveness, like the Bible says, if you have unforgiveness toward others, your Heavenly Father will not forgive your sins. It's not about going to hell, friend. It's about if you keep sinning that unforgiveness will get you cast outside the protection of the church. Doesn't even mean you go to hell. It just means your life on earth is going to be hell. And it will be hell. So that's why reaping and sowing, all this stuff, talking about this stuff tonight, is not to condemn anybody. It is to help us, right? It's to help you get that stuff right so you can start reaping benefits from heaven. And amen. All right, so let's stop here and see what's going on. All right. Hope you're able to hear that and understand it. I know I went some different places, some different manners, some different ways, but everything that we just shared is powerful for the future. And you're going to need to understand this stuff so you won't misunderstand stuff. If you understand stuff, you don't misunderstand. All right, how many of you know some of the biggest problems we have in life are through misunderstanding? Misunderstanding. I don't know what's going on tonight. It's just weird. All right. We're going to take callers now. Thank you for being with us. And all right. Give me just a moment. I'll be right back with you. Callers tonight. If you all doing well tonight. And let's take callers, see what's up here. All right, let's go here to 303-517. Who I'm talking to from, please. This is Mike.
Mike and Veronica.
Hey, y'all.
Hello.
All right, let's pray for you guys.
Thank you.
Okay, hello. Thank you. Good to have you. Okay. Thank you, Lord, tonight for Mike and Veronica. Lord, thank you, Lord, for that whole realm of forgiveness of sin, God, that we were realizing that we sometimes, you know, we work on that, how that we deal with others. Sometimes God says, you know, the reason that we that people keep messing up our lives is because they, just like Saul, they come in and they don't really have a repentant heart, and they keep causing trouble. They keep causing trouble for Israel. And this kind of thing goes on all the time with people. And people think, oh, I got to forgive them. Well, it's not that we have unforgiveness toward people. We personally don't have unforgiveness toward people, but forgiveness as far as God goes and letting them into your life, like Samuel, when he said it was not that Samuel had unforgiveness toward him. He didn't like him. He didn't like him at all. Hated what he did. But his unforgiveness, because Saul said, forgive me, I've sinned. You know what Samuel did? Samuel said, you know, basically, you're not forgiven. You know, in other words, you're not going to get back into Israel. Sometimes we have to do that with people in our life until they get a miracle change of heart or something, because we allow them in, and all they do is mess up our lives. And so, you know, I know we all had this stuff. We've all had this stuff in our life. I've had it plenty of times in my life, where people in my life, you know, they just keep doing the same old thing all the time. Well, you don't forgive me. You don't forgive me. The last time I tore up your house, I came in here and tore up your house. I didn't mean to. I'm so sorry. And then you let them in their house again, and they come in there and tear up your house again. Like, how many times is it going to take to learn? You know. Sometimes as far as, you know, giving people over, like Saul was not given access to Israel any longer. I mean, he still did, but he had lost the kingdom, and God appointed David. And, of course, it took a few years for that to happen, right? But, you know, it had to be dealt with. And so we're going to talk about that more in the future. But learning how to, you know, to deal with people in the proper way that come into our lives, whether it be business situations or whatever, and learn to deal with them and properly that, you know, we can't let some people in some situations who have a reputation for doing nothing but tearing up everything, to keep tearing up everything. You know, it has to stop. And so either they have a change of heart. If they don't have a change of heart, then we don't forgive them as far as, you know, we personally have to, we forgive everyone, but as far as God goes, you know, okay, you're forgiven, come back in and tear up my life again and tear up my business again and tear up my, you know, so I've had to do this with people myself. I've had to do this with people myself in my own ministry, my own calling. People got mad at me. How come you didn't forgive them yet? Because, you know what, God told me not to forgive them, not personally forgive them. I forgive them for what they did. But I couldn't let them be involved in what I'm doing. Because every time I did, they did nothing. But and God said, they haven't changed. God tells me they haven't changed. So if God tells me, then I have the right to not, quote, forgive them, exterior realm. And so we got to learn how to do that and learn to speak. I mean, we also have the power to forgive people. Like Jesus said, what's it better to do? You know, when they were, he healed somebody who he healed, but they said, you know, because he's telling his sins were forgiven him. And he was healed because he said, your sins are forgiven. Jesus had the power to forgive sin. We don't. But we have the power to let them know, you know, you ask God to forgive you, you are forgiven. And to tell them they're forgiven sometimes will heal them. Sometimes it will release them and set them free. And to let them know, to hear in their ears, like when we speak, rise up and be healed. Well, we don't heal people, but the power of God through our voice does. He does it through us speaking his word. When we speak his word, you know, to people, they hear that word coming out of those who are sent, and God does a miracle, right? So how can they hear and know they're forgiven, or how can they hear and know that they're healed if someone's not sent to tell them, hey, God has forgiven you your sins. You are forgiven. Get up and walk. You know, you've been forgiven for 15 years. You just didn't know it. Now I want to tell you, you are forgiven. Get up and walk in the name of Jesus. Amen. So what's up with that? Wow. I don't know. Anyway, what's going on?
Amen. Me and Veronica were just sitting here, and it's spot on. We had an amazing encounter with God today, and the forgiveness realm, and something happened today. Something broke today, and I can't explain it. It was a new fire just came on both of us. I mean, it was probably one of the most incredible experiences me and Veronica ever had. And last night, you know, the enemy and the whales are the enemy, and you know, he's really attacked us in so many ways since we've been in Colorado. And I kept telling Veronica, there's this new wine anointing coming. And once it comes, like on Pentecost, we're going to be on fire, and we're going to be able to do amazing things. We've got to wait for that to come, right? And I don't know what happened today, but I'll tell you what, after that thing broke today, we just we lost a check for $350. It showed up out of nowhere. We ended up – we just had favor everywhere. And I don't know what happened today, man, but it's like night and day. And,
hallelujah.
And Veronica is amazing. I'm amazing. And, you know, it's just we haven't felt this in years. And it's – I don't know what's going on today. But, Randy, it's I love my wife. My wife loves me. And we love the anointing. And I'll be honest, the one thing I was thinking about today, because, you know, even with the warfare, I know I didn't lose my anointing and the gifts, but those seasons where you go, where you don't feel God's presence, I don't ever want to be in that place again. To have that experience, like you talked about and prophesied about being in the valley, you never forget the valley. To be in his anointing, to be in his glory, and then to not have it for a season is the scariest thing in the world. And I'll tell you what, everything changes in a heartbeat, and it's you know, some other epiphanies happened today. Like me and her, the glory just came down on us, right? And this girl that had, what was wrong with her, Veronica?
Cancer.
Tell her what happened.
Cancer on.
She had cancer in her lungs, and she just happened to walk in, right when we were doing, right when the glory came down. So we ended up prophesying over her. We had her in tears. I mean, it was insane. And then we ended up praying again. I mean, it's just. It's back in old times, so, but it's, you know, there's nothing me and her could have done. Like, under the attacks, you can't stop it. It doesn't matter how much we pray over and over and over again, and it's just, I don't understand God sometimes, but for whatever reason, it just broke today, and it, I want to cry right now, because it's, God is amazing, but,
that is amazing.
I don't ever want to be in that position again, and I'm glad that I experienced this, but, yeah, it's amazing, and I'll let Veronica talk a little bit, but
okay.
They say the Bible says that the woman builds the house, right? And how I understand is that we have we bend our heart to our spouse and to God easier, and we shift the course and we say, okay, I'll let it go. I forgive you, or forgive me, please. And then a man should follow the shifting, and submit one another. And then nothing happened. Everything's good. It's over. It's done. But we didn't know how to shift. And we tried many times and forgive it. And then last night we talked about forgiving each other, like real, like, because our heart didn't get harder if we don't forgive quickly. And and then we lose God's presence, we lose our deeper love, we lose patience, we lose peace, and we lose understanding and all those valuable things. So we were talking today and good communication, and I know God is a God of order, and he searches our heart, our thoughts, our motives, and he is amazing. And for 3 years, he hides his face from us, or his presence, or and it was a survival mode, and we didn't feel okay, and we didn't like it, but we know that he's still there, even though we don't feel, he's still there for us. Even we don't touch it and give it, we still know he won't leave us and forsake us, and he'll be with us to the end of times. And it was painful to vow.
Yes.
Yeah. But it was our wrongdoings, our mistakes, our misunderstandings, our miscommunication, or a little bit here, a little bit of that. The Bible says that we have communion with one another. With God, we have communion with one another, right?
Right. Yeah. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from sin when we fellowship with each other, yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, and God really deal with us because we felt that really close a few days back. I was taken in the wind, and I was going up to third, fourth dimension, and I knew it. I wasn't dying, but I knew that I was dying, but I was awake and I was asleep, and I say no. And I only plead the blood of Jesus, and I had the same experience the same day. And God was telling us, like, are you guys going to wake up out of here and change your whole mode, or you guys going to do something before I take you? And it was pretty scary, but also pretty beautiful because we experienced, both of us, the blood of Jesus that cleansed us from all sin and all unrighteousness. And it was beautiful to feel his love back again. And he came to visit us twice yesterday and today, this morning. And then I say, it's an honor and privilege to have you again. But he comes when he wants to. And now Mike and I, we want to walk the narrow path and the straight line. And we want to say, okay, God, have your way.
That is awesome, girl. My gosh. Thank you, Jesus. Woo!
Amen. Yeah, it was a really pretty amazing glory experience, and it's definitely soul healing. A couple things real quick. It's interesting stuff you're saying about Trump, and it's just amazing. Real quick, Soldier has an infection in his paw, and you've kept him alive for a long time, so can you pray over his paws real quick? And
the baby.
We're looking at, we were supposed to move down to Houston and stuff. You asked us last time, and God really put it in our heart that there was stuff that was unfinished in Colorado. You know, I wasn't, me and her were divided about that, and we decided not to make the move there. And now some amazing housing and just a whole bunch of blessings opened up today. And we feel like we're going to stay here. We still, Texas is it. And my heart is still there for the shorelines and everything else. But, We feel like God wants to finish up some stuff here in the high places, and
Great!
You know, I there's deliverance and there's deliverance, and you know, when God finishes something and something's done, it's beautiful. I believe this is done, but if you could pray over that as well, we appreciate it. And then wherever you want to go with Trump, I'm listening.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it was so good to hear him today. Stay on track with. He didn't strike the rock tonight. He pretty well spoke, you know. That was kind of interesting to watch. And, so we love Trump. We all love Trump. Everybody loves Trump. I think everybody who likes he's a cool guy. I just love him, you know.
It's awesome, and I wish America could go for another 1,000 years. But like you said, it's, you know, even what you've been speaking about is our mentality. Like, man, we need Jesus to come back. We need him to rule and reign. I mean, we could go 100 new kings, you know, there, and one will be good, one will be not. I'm sure Donald Trump Jr. would be even greater. But it's the same thing. Nothing's going to get settled until Jesus comes back. And I think our mentality has to be that is where God wants to go. I mean, at some point, he needs to close this up. And with the heifers and the Antichrist name, I mean, I think you're right on spot. It's not that Trump isn't. Trump is the best we've ever had, but.
Sure.
There's something greater coming.
Yeah. It's about greater coming. And, he did a great job. He did so good that, you know, it's kind of like, man, you did in 4 years what you could have done in 8, so I guess we can move on. It's like, no, I don't want to move on. And so it really was good. I mean, you know, with Israel and all the stuff. But, of course, they hate him, and God has allowed them to take him out, you know, I voted for him, as everybody knows. I voted for him twice, and until I understood what the purpose was of it all, it was hard to go along with it. You know, I was having a hard time going along with it until God told me why and what the purpose of it was, and then I thought, well, man, if I mean, it sounds so crazy, it sounds so out of the box, man, to say Jesus is coming back. I mean, I thought I would never be saying that. Always looking forward to it. You know, 30, 40 years from now, 100 years from now, whatever, but not in my generation.
In all fairness, COVID was out of the box. everything that's happened in the last 7 years has been out of the box. But, yeah, it is taking me a second. I mean, I understood what you were saying when you started prophesying this. But to believe that we're actually in that time, I mean, it's incredible. I mean, like, we're really
it's
there.
Incredible.
We're really in the end times. Like, we're really right there. And it's like we've been saying this for years, but to see everything happening so quick, and who, I mean, to even be comfortable, like even today I was, went into the stores and saw people still wearing masks. And I'm like, this is, I don't know what happened to the world, but the last 7 years has been absolutely insane. So it's,
yeah,
you know, Jesus comes back for a millennium. It is no different than any of the other craziness that's been happening. Real quick, what do you think about this? Did you see that whole Bitcoin thing that's happening with the Democrats?
A little bit. I mean, the guy who lost, it kind of all fell apart.
Yeah. And the scandal and how they were laundering some money through there and all that. I didn't get the whole thing.
I
don't want to say anything until I do a little more research. But
yeah. No, I don't know the whole story. I've had people text me about it. So I don't understand. No, I don't have a handle on that yet. But you can talk about it if you want a little bit. I mean, just don't give a bunch of
I don't know enough about it. Maybe Jeff will get on tonight or somebody else who has a little more information. I mean, I'm curious as well as anyone else. I didn't get any information. I didn't hear anything from you. So I'm just wondering, is the thing going to blow up or not? But, yeah, somebody else has information,
yeah.
Man. I'd love to hear about that. But, yeah, this is amazing. And I just, you know, there's a one thing I want to talk about real quick was, you know, there's different ways that me and Veronica, I mean, we've been through a lot of warfare and things that we would have done and done different had you not prophesied certain things. And it's, you know, God always comes through and there's, his way is not always the easiest way. But thank God for the good fight that's fought through the prophecies that are given to us. And thank God for the prophetic mantle. It's just, you know, there's just things I was given thanks and appreciation for today. And, man, I don't know what we would have done without the prophet's mantle and what you've done at PGN, because our flesh and everything else want to go certain ways. And thank God for prophecy that keeps us anchored. and you know, we're able to through seasons. And it's not like 1 week or 2 weeks, but sometimes it's a year, and it's hard.
Yeah, it's the word of the Lord is like, I mean, I don't even understand a lot of it. People think I understand everything. You know, I'm the reporter. I just report. I give the report of the Lord, you know, and so the people think I understand all of it all the time, and I don't. Just like when God was kept telling me, you know, Biden, you know, I kept during 2020, I kept saying, you know, Trump could, you know, when the economy kind of recovered a little bit, you know, after it went crashed down. And we had that word about the collision, you know, going on, that the market would collide, have a head-on collision, and it did that. It was amazing. Then after that, I, you know, again, several times I said it during the year, you know, Trump could get it now. He could be president, you know, because economies kill presidential races. They kill them. I mean, if your economy dies when you're president, it doesn't matter whether it's your fault or not. They blame you for it one way or the other. And so – you know, so I kept saying, you know, it went right back up, like we said, you know, and guess what, you know, but you know what, I'm hearing another voice, Joseph Biden, and I did that several times during the year, not even really understanding exactly the total purpose of it, because you hear yourself say things that you're not even in control of, because when you yield control of your life to Jesus and at a continual rate and a continual basis, you know, you start as a prophet, you say things that you're not going, you know you're saying it, but it's happening so fast, you're not going, wow. I mean, like I hear myself saying stuff and going, woo, that's amazing, you know, because it comes out of me. So I think the prophetic realm is so amazing, like you're saying, that it's not a thing of man, it's a thing of God, but God uses man, and we get to work with him in it. It's so beautiful that he can use us, you know, in spite of ourselves. So, yeah, the word of the Lord is amazing, and when we understand it more, I think we'll have more faith for more of it in the purest form. It'll start coming forth in more power. Go ahead.
Go ahead. I'm listening. As you're talking, like ever since that encounter we had today, I'm feeling the Holy Spirit just shooting down the back of my neck. And I don't know what happened today, but go on, please. Like I'm just I'm loving it, man.
Well, I'm so grateful, man. You guys are getting blessed. Boy, that just thrills me more than anything. I mean, that's – if you got $1 million and said, Randy, we're going to send you half of it, I'd be very happy about that. But I'm more happy, I mean, you know, about this. This is amazing, man. It's amazing.
Well, I'm ready for Love Festival, and, you know, it's can you do me a favor?
Beautiful.
Kind of really important for what we went through today. I mean, can whatever happened today, can you feel that? And can you pray for Soldier? And we're doing some new things in business. If you could pray for that, and absolutely, man. PGN is it's time for PGN to come into Denver to every city, man, and for his prophetic mantle. You know, if Jesus is not going to delay on the millennium, he should delay on this harvest. So maybe the harvest is right before us. That's what I'm hoping.
Yeah, it definitely is. The harvest, the earth is about to be harvested, and most people don't understand that. We're going to talk about that some as we go along here. We started a little bit tonight, but talking about reaping, you know, you're going to reap what you sow. I mean, when you think about that in the positive sense, you know, I mean, that's harvest. Reaping means harvest. And so, yeah, we're going to see harvest. We see harvest all the time, but then there becomes a massive harvest to people who have been obeying God and doing what God, like in my particular case, you know, of just obeying God against what other people have said, you know, and being willing to, the only reason I was willing to do it was because, you know, I'm just willing to do it because he convinced me. When God convinces you, you're not afraid of anybody. You're not afraid of anything. It doesn't matter what everybody's saying. It doesn't matter how intellectual they are. It doesn't matter, because when God speaks to you, you don't fear anything. You know, when you have a word from God, you don't fear what people say. So that's what makes me so bold. It's not because I'm a bold person so much as it is that God convinces me of something. And then when it comes out of me, it comes out of me with power, you know, and authority. And so it's amazing. So we thank you, Lord, for Soldier and his paw. I remember this time that Soldier came into, you guys were at the studio. And you remember that? And Soldier.
Yeah,
like to picture him. He loved Uncle Randy. He sure did. And he was wagging that tail, and he was just like messing up some stuff, and Randy was freaking out. I love this dog. But get him out of here right now.
Well, Veronica's eating your pomegranate, yes.
He was so happy. He was so happy he'd probably get out of the car, you know. He was like, and he's a big old bulldog, man. That boy, he's wagging that big tail, and he didn't knock anything over, but, you know, cameras and on rollers, you know. he's so excited. It was so beautiful to see, but I love that about dogs, man. They just pure excitement. So, Lord, we just thank you for that sweet baby doll, that you touch him, God, and you love him, and he is a sweet baby doll. He loves cameras, and he loves the Lord. He loves PGN Studios. He was so excited to see it. Like, yeah, take me in there. I want to see that place, man. I've been waiting to see this thing. I got to see this thing. I got to see Uncle Randy. And Uncle Randy just freaked out. Oh, my God. His tail's like, you know. It's funny. When I think about that, that was funny. Get him out of here right now. I love that dog, but get him out of here before he tears up something. Oh, I'm sorry. I just remembering that when you mentioned him and his poor little paw, I go, bless his heart, you know. So touch him, Jesus. Heal him. And bless him. God, I know you love him, and he loves PGN, and he loves Uncle Randy and all that. And just touch him, the blood of Jesus over him. Amen. Yeah, and Lord, just bless her business, God. Lord, just let them enjoy. Let them enter into a joy, a harvest of joy and love and freedom. And God, when we're in love with you and we're in love with each other, even in love with our dogs. Yeah, I think you can be in love with your dog. I think it's okay. I think it's a God thing. God, animals are like beautiful creatures that God has given us to love them. To love them. Nothing wrong with loving animals. We love them. They're God given. They're beautiful. And they're the most pure thing. That's why God used animals for sacrifice, you know, lambs, because they're so innocent. And, you know, in a sinful world, animals are the most innocent thing I think that we have. And so anyway, all that aside, so Lord, I just thank you to bless their business, God. Open up those doors, Lord. Let them do more. Let them get more done. Make more money with less time and less effort. God, bless them with that blessing, God. Where it's less emotional effort, less mental effort, less physical effort, and more reaping eternal harvest, reaping a harvest, reaping harvest, God, from all their obedience, all their love for you, Jesus, and their love for each other and the desire to serve you together, God, that you have blessed them, God, and make them, let them rule as kings and queens in Jesus' name and over. And like God said, he blessed Adam and Eve, and this is really unusual, but wow, I'm hearing this right now. When God created Adam and Eve, you know, he married them, and then he said, and he said he gave them dominion over the earth. Lord, I thank you. I give them dominion. I speak that dominion you've given them, God. It's like Adam, you give them dominion over things. Give them dominion over the earth. Give them dominion over the things that belong to them, God, that are theirs. Through Christ Jesus, in the business realm, in the money realm, in the financial realm, in the blessing realm, in the love realm, in the joy realm, and enjoying each other, enjoying, you know, even the hard times, enjoying the hard times, knowing that hard times, you know, have to happen to try us so that we can enter into greater glory and greater places in Jesus' name. Amen. And let the harvest, Lord, let them reap harvest of the glory. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. Everlasting life. A harvest of everlasting life. Everlasting life is a blessing of God in the earth that causes the blessing to continue evermore. You know, we keep walking with him. We keep obeying the Spirit. We do what the Spirit says. We do what the Spirit says. We have that eternal life. It's everlasting life, I should say. It's ever going on. It's like the ever-ready battery. It's never runs out. And it's here in the earth in Jesus' name. And bless them with that, God, in Jesus' name. Open up those doors and give them favor, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, Lord.
Well, that was cool about the Adam and Eve thing. I don't think I've ever done that before. I don't think I've ever done that before that I know of. That was a little bit unusual.
Hallelujah. And hallelujah. It's you know what I find fascinating is, and I think it goes for everyone on PGN, it's like we all go through similar times. It's like this whole network of people, like when we're going through suffering, everyone's going through suffering, you're talking about suffering. I mean, it's almost like you're just talking to us every time you prophesy, like right before we get on. You know, God's speaking to me. Most of the time it's 100% what you're saying, and I'm just like, wow, it's like Randy's just talking to us, but I'm sure that's with everybody. I'm sure that's what the prophetic mantle is, and it's if things are breaking into another dimension, I'm sure that's breaking in for everyone else, and may God bring that harvest for us all, man. May we all come into this new realm. You've been talking about it for a while. Like I said, I don't know what broke through today, but if it's breaking through for me, I'm starting to believe this is probably a corporate thing. It's right along with your prophecies. Maybe we're entering into a new time, and maybe God is calling us back, you know, and may it be in the name of Jesus. I mean, that's where my spirit's going right now. And I'm telling you, for 10 years, I believe that God is going to pour out this new wine, the new wine anointing, and it's anointing that changes the RNA and DNA, almost like the on Pentecost, you know, and once that gets here, then it's the anointed breaker yoga. It's, you know, there's I forget what prophet said that. It was off one of Bob Jones' guys, but he said that the revival we're looking for is not as it was in the past, and it's not what it is in the future. It's from the power of the age to come, the grand finale, and I'm believing that's being released. The new wine, the one that changes, that we touch people, 100% get healed, the greater works of God. And no one's going to have to ask whether it's here or not. It's here. It's Yeah, we're going to see it. We're going to see that glory. We're going to see the unveiling of the bride. And it's always been in my heart since for over a decade. And you talk about it all the time.
Yeah.
We see glimpses of it. But you know, if the Antichrist is coming forth, you know, the Lord told me it's on two sides. You know, it's a double-edged sword. Yeah, he's going to have his army. We're going to have our army. I mean, it's a double-edged sword. It's happening on both sides. Judgment and revival are happening on both sides. I mean, reaping and sowing on both sides. So I think you're right on. I think into a time, and may God do it. And like you said, this election time, it's always around the election time. It's going to get crazy on every side. But this is a glory time, too. This is the greatest time, right?
Absolutely. I believe that we're speaking what God's given us. And, we're entering to a harvest season. And so there's a lot of great blessings going to be poured out on people. And we're going to see a harvest of our enemies. Our enemies are either going to repent and get right with God, or they're going to be dealt with in a harvest type fashion. You know, I don't wish anybody harm. I wish everybody would just repent. Me, everybody would repent and get right with God. You know, I don't want my enemies to be my enemy. I want my enemies. The Bible says there's an anointing, you know, to make your enemies your friends. And that's my dream, is that my enemies will become my friends. But sometimes in the prophetic realm, I have to speak a little rough to some people, and even with names, you know, because it's what God tells me. It's part of my job. And the pressure that comes with that is pretty amazing sometimes. But it's a beautiful thing because, you know, we're going to see a harvest. And when I start the words that we've been talking about here for a long time about the merchandising realm and God dealing with that, most people still don't have their eyes open to how bad that is for the body of Christ, what it's opened up the doors for. But when we talk about the harvest of that, we're going to see a harvest of these merchandisers being taken down. It's already began. It began with Marcus Lamb. Sad to say, as much as I love Marcus Lamb, that was an amazing phenomena that happened. That the fact that we just talked about it the week before it happened, you know, and said he's going to be taken out. I didn't know it was going to be like that, but that was not just because he had issues. We all got issues. Everybody's got issues. No, it's because of merchandising. That was the main thrust of that situation, and people have called it everything else, but what it really is. And so that was a harvest, in a sense. He went to heaven. He went to be with Jesus. I believe that. He was a servant of God. But God is dealing harshly, as he's dealing as a businessman deals with the one who hid his one talent, and he says, I'm going to take away from you what you have and give it to the one who's done the most. You know, and so that's kind of, in a sense, what we're going to see. We're going to see a harvest of that, where God's going to deal with the people that we've been prophesying about, that are merchandising. That's going to be one of the biggest harvest, Mike, that we see. And as those television networks and those ministries are harvested in the way of merchandising, that means a lot of them are going to go down. If they don't repent, they're going to go down. I've been prophesying about that for the last couple, 2-3 months. The Biden thing's going to take care of that. But at the same time, like you're talking about, on the other side, we're going to have our networks. We're going to have our thing. We're going to have our outreach. We're going to have our thing. So as God judges the merchandisers and everything they've built with merchandising money, with the blood of Jesus, with the blood of, you know, merchandising, as that stuff goes down, you know, at the same time, ours is going to be raised up. And like you even mentioned about the fact that we've been waiting for 12 years to give the name of the Antichrist. I've been waiting for 12 years to do that, wondering when the timing was going to be. God, how, you know, when am I, people kept asking me, some people thought I was playing a game with it. I said, y'all, I'm not playing a game with this. This is no game. I would love to tell everybody this stuff because I think it's cool. I would love for you to know. But you know what? God won't let me. He will not let me until the queen died. And then 3 days, and then a couple, on the next Monday, on the 12th of September, we gave the name of Antichrist. And 3 days later, 5 red heifers showed up in Israel. That was a phenomenon that we still don't even understand how powerful that was. And bringing forth the understanding that God wants the millennium. It's not about just the 7 years of hard time and judgment. That's going to be an amazing revival. That's going to be – people don't even see it, Mike, as a revival. They see it as, oh, my God, not the Antichrist. But like what you're saying, we're going to see great judgment. The Antichrist is going to come forth, which means when the Antichrist starts coming forth, it means God's allowing it. Why is God going to allow him to come forth? because he's going to judge him. He's going to harvest him.
And you know, it says that I will keep them from the time of tribulation. There's a verse that talks about the virgins as they enter in, and there is a people. I mean, what a man sows is what a man reaps. God will not be mocked. And what you're saying, and you're right about the merchandising realms, we have not seen the power of God. We have not seen the healings that we're supposed to see. It's a form of godliness with no power. And, you know, like I know different ministries, like your ministry and everything else, how much of those who are in their real calling and those who are just peddling and have good philosophies and everything, and we really never seen the power of God when people are in their own lane. And until the merchandising and, you know, people understand that it's not just doing good things, but it's doing what God called us to do. And not one, you know, right. And getting past these titles and pastors without the fivefold and all this, like God needs to put the house in order, and then we're going to see the glory and the power of God. But you're right, those who, like you said, like Saul, who refused to go God's way and just want to do it their way, I mean, what can God do? It's not even like he wants to. It's even like with Moses. No, it's got to be done this way. And it's,
right.
Man, God loves these people, but what God is coming back for, a bride without spot or wrinkle, he's coming back to rule in the millennium, like you said, was being built right now. It's going to be tested by fire. Wood and hay and stubble is going to burn up, and we're building for the millennium. I believe what you said, that what we build, if it's really of God, is going to go into millennium. We're beginning to build. We're beginning to bring that new Jerusalem into the heaven, into the earth, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. And here's the scripture you're reading. I'm just going to read it out here about be kept from the time of trouble. Let me read it to you. Revelation 3:10 is one of them. It says, since you have kept my command and endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come on the whole earth to test the inhabitants of the earth. You know, you have to understand that because the whole earth is going to have, just like the whole earth is going to have Christians everywhere, just like it does right now, right? There's also among all of us the tares, or the Antichrist people, or people who are not of Christ. They're Antichrist. They don't believe in Christ. They're all over the globe. So God is going to deal with them. But we're not going to, just like in Israel, when Israel was kept from the hour, from God's wrath, so are we going to be kept from wrath. We're protected from wrath. We are kept from that. Israel was kept from that. They were right in the middle of it. It was going on all around them, but they were kept from it. It said, since you have kept my commandments and endured patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial. So in other words, the trial that's coming is really harvest. That trial is called the harvest of the earth. God is going to use the church. The reason we can't go anywhere and do anything, because not only the 144,000, the two witnesses, but the church of Jesus Christ is going to be used, because it's going to take a lot of people all over the globe. This is a global harvest that's going to be happening all at the same time with a special anointing on all kinds of people. And so we're going to have this harvest anointing of the people that are in the world that are the tares or whatever. Are the people who aren't born again, don't know Jesus, to get them born again, to get them saved, to get them healed. That's what the harvest is all about. So God is going to be pouring his – they're going to see plagues. Bible says come out from among them, come out from among the harlot, from the merchandisers, come out from among them, so you will not receive their plagues. So we come out from among them. We don't go anywhere. We don't leave the earth. We just don't partake of their sin. You know, you don't have to be away from the earth to not partake of somebody's sin, right? You just step away from it. In Christ, he sanctifies you, sets you apart. But he's going to judge all that, and he's going to pour out his wrath, and the devil's going to have a wrath too. And we don't have to be afraid of any kind of wrath. We're not appointed the wrath. The Bible says mm-hmm. we're not appointed the wrath, it's not talking about that particular scripture. It's not talking about end time wrath. That particular scripture, which they misquote, is talking about eternal wrath of going to hell. When you read that scripture, that's what it's talking about. We're not appointed to that. Of course we're not appointed to that wrath. That wrath is a different wrath. That wrath is eternal hell. We're not appointed to that wrath. But also in the earth, when the wrath comes down, whoever Satan's wrath or God's wrath, doesn't matter. Israel was an example of God protecting us even from God's wrath. Who cares about the devil's wrath? Oh, my God, the devil's wrath is going to be so bad. So the devil's wrath is going to be worse than God's wrath? I don't think so. I think God's wrath is going to be much more powerful than the devil's wrath. And God protects us from God's wrath in Israel, in Egypt, and that was without the new covenant. How much more will he do it now? Yeah, so it's...
Hallelujah. No, you're right. And, you know, the other thing that I wanted to bring up real quick, and you need to not forget, is the revelation you had, which God showed me a while back, and I've really been meditating on it since you've been talking about it, is, you know, he gave dominion over all the seed-bearing plants, everything that creeps upon the earth. We gave dominion to the devil, the second Adam, you know, and, you know, when a seed falls into the ground until the harvest, you know, Jesus was the seed. He said, I was the seed that went into the ground. And then, but the fullness of the harvest, that a father leaves an inheritance, the greater work, you know, the fullness, you know, it says when sin is fully ripe, it produces death. When righteousness is fully ripe, we have never seen this. A generation has never seen this. A chosen generation has never seen the fullness of what the cross has done. And it's, you know, years ago the Lord told me revival and judgment are the same thing. It just depends on what side you're on. It's the greatest time on earth and it's the worst time on earth. But for those who have been trained and those who have made themselves ready, man, we're dealing with the creation, but God's people, once they get some of these revelations, once the DNA and RNA and everything you're saying, you mentioned how when people die, you had prophecies about this years ago, that you said that they're going to check their DNA and they're going to be like, this is the blood of Jesus. It's not even natural human blood. The transformation that's going to happen. I don't, you know, people could say that we've seen glimpses of the glory, shadows of it. But I believe, like you do, that once glory comes, just like on Pentecost, once this power comes, it's gonna change the whole world. And I believe it's going to happen here at PGN. I believe it's going to happen around the there's going to be a time that where there's going to be no doubt that this changed the world for Christianity. And it's not going to be about money or anything else. It's going to be about the anointing. I mean, when everything is going bad, people are going to come to the anointing. They're not going to care about your buildings. They're not going to care about how good you talk or how good you motivate. When people are sick, you know, Jesus went and out in the streets and people gathered the sick around him, the demon-possessed around him. Why? Because they needed him. It didn't matter what anyone said. It didn't matter what the Pharisees cried. It didn't matter what the leaders of the time said. When people are sick and they need Jesus, they're going to go to where the real anointing is.
Yeah. Right. And here's the thing about, you know, this, I'm going to go back to this thing about the tribulation and all that, because it's all about harvest. The tribulation, when we think of tribulation, the great tribulation, we need to be thinking about, like you're talking about, we need to think about it more as a harvest time, because Satan's going to be harvesting. Why? Because God is going to allow the Antichrist and all the fullness of the devil through some flesh and blood human beings, because it has to be through flesh and blood human beings now. He no longer can rule as a spirit. He has to come through people. And so, when that harvest comes, God's going to allow. What is a harvest? It's a letting the fruit of the let's say the wheat to come to a full head. So the Antichrist, you know, he's not a wheat, but you want to call him a tares. What do you want to call him? And his fruit is going to come to the fullness also, to the fullness of the devil. In other words, God's going to allow the devil to have his full way, his full power, his full ability is going to be manifest like never before. And that's harvest, because God's getting ready to bring, when he allows him to raise his ugly head completely, thinking he's going to rule the earth now, and he fully just gets arrogant. Uh-huh. His arrogance is beyond what he's ever had. He's going to be so arrogant like never before. He thinks he actually has it, and then God's going to, all of a sudden, his head's going to fall off, and he's going to go like, he's going to be dead, just like that. That's how fast it's going to happen. So God has to allow him to come forth. And so what happens on the other side the whole time this is happening is God is trying to harvest the earth through the church and through the 144,000, through the two witnesses. He's going to use everybody to bring harvest. So we're going to have, God is going to allow, like you said, the fullness of his glory, just like he's going to allow the fullness of Satan's power to come forth through a man, through a group of people. through a government, and he's going to allow, and on the other hand, Christ is going to allow the fullness of the wheat to come forth into their full power, to the fullness of the Godhead. And she's the same. It's going to be amazing. And so that's going to be through the church. It's going to be through the woman in the wilderness, which is the church, the full glory of God. And it's going to happen. And then Jesus is going to come back. And we're not going to finish it. He's going to finish it. But we're going to prepare the way for him to finish it.
Amen. It's amazing. So Satan's going to do his, and you're going to do yours. And also when you're talking, it reminds me of a verse where it says that I put a name on their forehead, a new name, just like there's a mark for the Antichrist, the 666, whatever. God's marking his people too. And,
right.
You know, so many things are going through my head right now. Like you talked about Billy Graham and when the angels were released in the hemisphere. I mean, they're about to do their thing too. I mean, there's an invasion of angels right now. And, you know, I don't care how old people are. I don't care that these people are there. When Pentecost hit and that power came, those people are out there preaching in the streets. I mean, it's going to transform everything. And it's going to change the way life is. And it's starting. It's going to happen. But you're talking of a time that I think we're coming upon. And you mentioned last week the year of Jubilee. You said you're going to talk more about that. But maybe next year, I don't know what God told you, but I do believe that there is a true Jubilee coming, right?
Right, Jubilee. We're going to talk about that pretty soon. I just haven't I haven't had the freedom to talk about it yet. Yeah, I had a supernatural, the thing Mike is talking about. I've never heard God talk to me about Jubilee before, ever, not ever. I mean, I've said the word, I've used the words, but I've never actually had a word from God about it until, about 3 weeks ago on a Monday or Tuesday, I can remember. And I had a supernatural sign happen to me that, you know, I just don't have that many supernatural signs happen to me, you know, honestly. But when I do, they're mind-boggling. As a prophet, you know, I've seen many different things. But this particular sign, when I talk about it, we'll talk about it later. But it's about God spoke to me, and I said the very words. I said, in this particular situation going on, I was asking him, okay, if what's going on has to do with the Jubilee, let a certain thing happen. I mean, and right in front of my eyes. I mean, right in front of my eyes. It just happened. And when I talk about it, you understand why it was so amazing. And so, Jubilee, we'll explain that as God gives me the full understanding of it. We'll begin to download that. That's also harvest. Jubilee is also harvest too. And so, so we're going to explain that to people and get that out in the open. Yeah. Deborah and John said, I feel compelled. Hang on a second. Deborah and John, Deborah, who does shows for us on Tuesday, says, I feel compelled to ask if you would ask Mike and Veronica from Colorado to pray for my son, Matt, who lives in Colorado. Could you do that? Pray for Matt, who lives in Colorado. She says, felt compelled to ask that. So I thought we'd just stop everything and go after that one situation for Matt.
Well, I'll pray and finish it up, Randy. I'll start it. But, Father, I thank you for the high places. I thank you for the people who are positioned. Father, I believe that there's, just like every state, there's a movement for Colorado. Colorado has a special place in your heart. And, Lord, you showed me a while back and when I came here that there were many people who were placed there strategically. I don't even think they knew they were there. Randy gave many prophecies about Colorado and that there was going to be music and bands coming out and different kinds of expressions of God coming out of the high places. It's a very mystical place. But, Father, I thank you for Matt being in the right place at the right time. I thank you for the prayers of the fathers and the mothers that have went up for him. And Lord, that he is in position, that he is going to be in the place, Lord, that there is a time for his lineage, for the prayers that were lifted up for him, the position, the purposes that you have for him, and the gathering that you have for Texas, the gathering you have for Colorado, and for the different strategic places you have. Father, I thank you for the leadership. I thank you for the leadership. I thank you for the time of the anointing. I thank you for the time to waken bringing back backsliders, bringing back the first love, Lord. I thank you for Matt's life. I thank you for the foundations of family, for the foundations of family. And Lord, we bless him right now that he is part of this. He's part of the PGN family, that his position here. And Father, I pray for Colorado right now. I pray for what you showed me here, even with the love festivals that are to be raised up. And Lord, I know you're going to bring it. That there's a time where people are going to come together. Church is going to be it's going to be different. It's not going to just be gathering on Sunday. It's going to be a way of life. It's going to be different cities. Five folds coming together, and you know, like Randy always talks about, and the one thing that I learned more about Randy everything else is, like, just like the Leviticus oil, there's certain elements that have to be in the right place at the right time, and once they're there, then the glory comes. When God gathers his people, the right people at the right place, ministries are birthed, and great things happen, and Matt is part of that. We're part of that. You know, all of us at PGN are different ingredients which make this anointing come forth, that bring forth certain purposes that God has in the earth. And Lord, I thank you that you're doing that with Matt, that you have us all in the right position at the right time. And Lord, just like, you know, they were scared in the upper room and they didn't know what to do. But once that glory came down, once that Pentecost came down, everything changed. They went out, they spoke boldly. And Lord, we're waiting that time. We're waiting for that anointing. We're waiting for that glory. That latter glory, that Shekinah glory, that greatness to come upon us, Lord, that we may go boldly and preach the word of God, that we may see the signs and wonders, that things that you know, that there's a verse that God's reminding me of right now. Paul says that, I wish that we were kings and priests. And he talked of a time of a greater glory, not of powers from the age to come or from the past, and not something new, but Lord, we await for the power, the new Jerusalem, that the power of the age to come, to come upon us, that DNA and RNA change, that new wine anointing that I believe, I don't know what you'll call it, but that anointing that has never been in the earth, those angels have never been in the earth, that harvest time, Lord, the greatest harvest, that the whole earth should say glory, glory, glory. The earth is filled with his glory. It's the worst and the best of times, Lord, and a particular people, a royal priesthood, a chosen generation, Lord, and I believe that's what PGN is raising up right now. I believe that's what you're doing in strategic places over the earth. I believe Matt is part of this. Father, we're going to see our sons and daughters raise up. You know, his father leaves an inheritance for his children, not just wealth, but of the anointing, the things that we do, and the things that we harvest in the earth are for our children too, that they should be twice as good as us, that the prophets that come out of Randy should be twice as good. That they leave a harvest. A father leaves a harvest. Jesus leaves a harvest, a greater work, Lord. And Lord, we pray for him right now. And I pray for his time to come. The divine appointments, the positioning, the family, the united, the family, the reminding of the foundations that were laid for him, that he may raise up and be what you called him to be. Lord, it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. It's a visitation. As we behold him, we become in his image. We become in his image. Lord, as we behold you, as your glory gets stronger and stronger, like today when we beheld you, it just instantly, love just started flowing. Lord, we want to behold you. Lord, we pray for our children tonight. We pray for everyone on PGN. We pray for this greater work, Lord, this Pentecostal movement. The this wave of glory that's coming, Lord, that we may do your purposes, for your will to be done on this earth, for us to be able to fulfill, for us to be able to love you the way you need to be loved. Lord, I pray for him. I pray for our children, for everyone's children tonight. And we definitely, I believe that Matt, Randy, probably prophesied in more detail, but I believe that he's in position for a greater harvest of what God has intended for Colorado. I believe there's a great movement coming out of Colorado. As with Texas, and may that come forth in Jesus' name.
All right. Veronica, anything you want to pray over Matt? If not, that's fine.
She's sleeping. She's knocked out in the spirit, I think.
Okay. All right. Awesome. All right, there you go. Thank you very much. And hang on a second here. Okay, Deborah says thank you. Amen. God bless.
Yep.
She sent some fire along with that little text. Thank you. She says thank you, Mike. And all right, very, very cool. All right, let's move on here. All right, Mike, anything else?
No. Go. You want to pray for Matt, too, real quick, while we're on it?
Hallelujah, God. We thank you for crowning him, God. Crown him with your perfect will. Your will is your crown. It's the crown that we wear. It's not a crown of, you know, how great we are within ourselves, God. But the crown that you crown us with is the crown of your perfect will, Father. And your perfect will brings perfect peace. And your perfect peace brings perfect deliverance. And your perfect deliverance brings perfect liberty. And we thank you, Lord, for giving him the spirit of liberty. Let the spirit of liberty burn within him, God, that he wants to be free. He wants to be liberated. He wants to walk in liberty and freedom. God, in Jesus' name, that you will use him, even in the financial realm, to conceal things. Like he's a concealed weapon for God. Matt is a concealed weapon before God that God can use as he chooses to. And God, we thank you, Lord, for lining him up, Father, in your perfect will, God, so that crown, he will wear that crown. When we wear crowns, crowns are not because we're great. Crowns are given because when you walk in the will of God, he crowns you with that. And that crown of authority is known in the spirit realm. And when somebody's walking in the will of God, especially the perfect will of God, the 100-fold realm, you have a crown that the devils recognize, that the world system recognizes. And people see it too. They don't really see a crown on your head, but they know there's something about you that's just something's going on with that person. I don't know what it is, but I sense it's that crown. And Lord, we thank you for the crown of your will that you crown us with. And this is my beloved son. I'm well pleased. I'm well pleased, and I crown him with glory. And we thank you, Lord, for that with Matt in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Cool. All right, I guess I'll move on. Deborah says, thank you. You're so welcome. Thank you much. Fire and anointing. Grateful. So much fire and anointing. Grateful. Thank you. You're welcome, Deborah. Thank you so much. You're welcome. We're very happy. Go ahead.
Where are we at with the heifers and everything with Israel? Is there anything new with any of that stuff?
They're fattening them up, man.
All right.
I get a lot of... they can get a lot of ashes out of them. No, we don't know. I haven't heard anything about it. I think that we're not going. I really don't know. They went through the process, of course, to even call when the Texas ranchers called them. They had been in contact before. You know, they kind of knew that they were working on it, and so I've never talked to them. I don't know them personally, but the process was big. It was a major thing to call the temple. People and the priest for them to fly down and show up in Texas and inspect them. And sure enough, when they found out that they were, you know, truly red heifers, of course they have to wait, for another year, about a little over a year before they can be, if they still are maintaining their red, the red hair and all that, according to the law, then they will be, of course, offered up and the ashes will be burnt, you know. The ashes will be used to cleanse the temple. So I don't know where they're at on that. I think there's going to be a year of them raising them, a year of just growing them. So we don't know. I think it's kind of a waiting game, as far as I know. Just make sure and feed them carrots so they can keep kind of a carrot red hair. You know, carrots will turn you orange. No, maybe need something red, like pomegranate. Yeah, feed them pomegranate seeds. So I don't know. I really don't know about what's going on exactly, except it was pretty big deal for them to come and be able to find five of them that had perfectly red hair all the way through. And they had to have red hooves. They had to have red, I think, on the inside of their ears. There's a lot of red that they had to have. And it's not just like red hair. It's red everything and just about everything. But So that's all. I really don't know anything. If anybody hears anything, let us know. We'd love to hear about it.
Okay, and one last thing real quick. You talk about the harvest. When I read in Matthew and stuff, and I was just going through that a couple weeks ago, but is this a time where there's going to be co-laboring with angels? I mean, are the angels starting to work harder? Are they doing the harvesting? Like what is this as far as the angelic realm? How does that interact with the natural realm? Is there anything on that?
I don't have any special information from the Lord on it, except, I do know that angels, you know, they connect you with, you know, heavenly. Like when the angel came to me 2005, January 11, 2005, and I was laying in my bed, trying to sleep early in the morning, and he waked, and I never saw him, but he spoke into my ear like a little innocent child and said, there's a massive merger coming, just like an innocent child would talk to you. And so that angel activated the whole realm of being connected to the market. That's what connected me. I'm not smart. I don't have it. I don't know anything about it. I've not even been into any of that stuff at all. So that angel that connected me to that, that's what they do. And when the time comes, when somebody is broken, I was so broken at that time in my life. I wasn't in sin and rebelling against God broken. I was broken before God. And when it came time and I was able to receive it, then the angel came. God just sent the angel to me. I don't know a name. I didn't see. I don't know what he looked like. He just spoke like an innocent child. That's all I know. And then from that time on, I was supernaturally connected to the stock market and the financial global, you know, information. You know, and so, that was an angel working, right? What was he working? With me, he was working, getting me ready, getting somebody ready for the end times. You know, he connected me to a supernatural realm that I did not have before. So I think that, as people are going to be broken, like I was broke, very, very broken at that time. And in love with Jesus, serving God, worshiping, ministering, praying. I mean, I wasn't like out in, you know, doing sin. I was, you know, serving God with all my heart. And, becomes broken. And as we go through some brokenness and people, you know, become broken, then we're going to have visitation, because brokenness, that's what I've been trying to talk about lately, is that through much pressure we enter into the kingdom of God. You know, in the book of Acts it says, through much pressure, through much trouble, through much tribulation, we enter into the kingdom. We actually enter into the kingdom, or the kingdom enter. So what happened to me, that much pressure that I had been under broke me, and through that much pressure I entered into, you know, a place, because the angel came and spoke to me, and because I was so broken. And that brokenness, that pressure I've been under, it was so amazing. I had like a knife stuck in my back for like a year. I couldn't get it out, spiritually speaking. It was so painful. It was the most difficult time of my life ever. And so that brokenness, you know, God connected me. An angel was used to connect, because I was ready. If he'd have done it 6 months before or a year, it wouldn't have worked, right? So God knows the timing of everything. And so we are going to start going through groaning and travail. That's going to bring people to a place of, you know, brokenness, yieldedness to God, I guess. And then the angels are able to, you know, do things, you know. And so I think that there's a preparation that angels are used to help preparation. I think angels are used to help bring trouble, to with trouble meaning with taking things away from people that they're addicted to, you know, having too much fun, or he'll take the fun away from them, you know. If that'll get them to Jesus, whatever brings them to brokenness. If they do too much games on their computer, you know, he'll find they won't be able to do it anymore. They'll get broken of that, and they'll open up themselves to God and pray to God. And so angels have to do with everything. They help prepare the way for your brokenness. Help you know, take away things from you, because God goes, that's really messing with them. Take it away from them. You know, all they think about is money, so take the money away from them for a time, you know, and they come under brokenness. And so angels have to do with that too. And then when it comes, of course, to harvest,
They have everything to do with everything. The angels are always working, yeah. Do I think there's more of that going on? I think that they've been, like the church has not really listened to the word of the Lord about merchandising. Because of that, God is about to judge that and break a lot of people and scare a lot of people. The night that Marcus Lamb died and people called in, they were scared to death. They're going like, they were like, what do we do? What are we going to do now? You talk about Marcus Lamb and he's versus, and he's dead now. What are we going to do now? You know, I mean, that really shook people up, but only for a small time. And so we're going to start seeing things happen in a global set. Like, that was kind of a global thing because he reaches, they reached the whole globe, with their network. So it's like a global thing. God is touching the globe with, that, and that's not even finished yet. That there's more to come with that. And so the angels are doing all that stuff. I mean, the angels help people, give them time to get right with God, like the prostitute, like the Jezebel, like the prostitute. God said, I gave her time to get right, and she didn't do it. So when she didn't do it, and the angels help produce circumstances for somebody to get right with God, and they keep on choosing to not get right, then another set of angels come, and they start bringing judgment on that person, on the whore, or whoever you are, whoever I am, whoever we are, that judgment comes to. And so the angels do all that stuff. So, yeah, they're always working.
Whew. And then, just real quick, a testimony before you go. So the reason I had you pray over Soldier tonight was he's been panting, he has been walking, he's been really depressed. As soon as you started praying for him, he came over on me and Veronica's lap, and he hasn't been able to sleep. He's been up in pain, for the last 3 days, and he's
baby
right in front of me. His balls are out. So I think you're going to have a heck of a testimony tomorrow. I'll let you know if the inflammation, everything
okay.
goes down. But this is really a supernatural miracle. I'm watching him right now, and I'm sitting here absolutely amazed while I'm listening to you. But, yeah, Soldier is definitely, when he comes out of this, probably going to say thank you.
Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we just thank you, Soldier. And, when I was talking and laughing about you earlier, I just love you, right? I was just playing. I loved it when you came in and you started knocking things around, because you were so excited and like a little kid, you couldn't help himself. I love that, but it just made me a little nervous. So that's all. I forgive you. You didn't do anything wrong. You're fine. I love you. Everything's good. just in case he understands this, I want to make sure he understands I love him.
Amen, brother.
Okay.
It's amazing. I'm so excited to see it and to be in the center of everything. And, people who listen to you every night understand exactly where we are because everything builds upon everything. And it's your prophetic message. You were talking about how they're teaching you how to prophesy. But, it's been like 12 years now, 13 years that we've been listening almost every night, but you get bits and pieces as you listen to everyone's prophecy and stuff. And it's really, your ministry is really incredible. And it's just amazing how, I watch the news, I watch everything happening around us, and it's pretty accurate. It's incredible, like you said, that you're going to be in the center of everything, and we really are center of everything. I remember when not COVID, but the one pandemic that came from Africa happened right around
Ebola.
Ebola. The Ebola. I mean, it's insane.
Ebola, yeah.
I mean, and even when you had Biden, that was way before Biden was even with Obama. No one even heard of Biden at that point. And him even coming. Obama even choosing Biden, I mean, it's just incredible, from the market, from that, from the Ebola, from, the three waves that you prophesied about COVID and, the wrecks. I mean, it's just what a ride it's been, And now we're coming up against the elections again with Trump again. Now I'm remembering back when we were all talking about the first time Trump came in, And it's just what an incredible ride, man. It's
crazy,
isn't it? I've been saying I hope someone comes alongside of you and helps make some YouTube clips, and, because the information is spread out throughout two or three hours in each show, but there's so much information and going to archive this so that we can be able to get to some of this information a little easier. I mean, it's all there, but somebody needs to start going and put stuff together and clips together so that we can figure out how to get this information together a little bit more, just putting that out there.
I think we're getting ready for that. I tried to do that before, and I just couldn't get it together. Yeah, there is a lot of information that we need to put together in nutshell versions and short versions, long versions. If people like the short version, then they'll dive in a little deeper. And so, in fact, I think that my YouTube channel just got opened up to me again. They shut me off for 3 or 4 years. I mean, I couldn't even get on YouTube. And just about, maybe it's because of what Elon Musk is doing with Twitter and opening that up, they might be going like, maybe we better try to get in all the business we can because we might lose some. I don't know if they would or not, but I don't know why all of a sudden they sent me a text, I don't know if I paid my time in prison with them or something. I don't know what happened. And now they're releasing me from prison. I'm not sure. But whatever it is, I just got a text like last week, and I'm going like, am I really? I can't. No, they've restored, because I've tried to get back on several times, and they said, you are locked out. I'm going, okay. And so something's happened. So I'm trying to work that out and check that out. So we may be back on YouTube again now, and that'll be that, and we'll try to do, a Twitter thing maybe and some other stuff. So, help me pray about it.
You got a lot prophesying every night, and maybe getting 3 or 4 good computer techs on your team just to go through this and start making clips and stuff with God brings you to that, and some volunteers to come alongside. But there's you got a lot of great and intelligent people here on PGN. It'd be nice to see everyone come together and start taking this to another level, as God allows it.
Right. Yeah. I would like for it to. It's not that I don't want it to. It's just that, through different circumstances, I think what happened was, because we were trying to reach out a little bit, YouTube and different things. And it's just out of the blue. And I'm not blaming anybody. I'm not saying they were persecuting us. It has nothing to do with any of that. But for different reasons, we were just shut off from even my website situation became, with GoDaddy. They became, in my opinion, obnoxious about some things. And I just said, I'm not going to do business with you guys anymore. And that was a big decision for me. And so that shut me off in some things. And so just in circumstances that I believe were God ordained for the moment so that nobody could take the credit for no outlet, no thing could take the credit for God getting us right in the middle of everything. In other words, it wasn't because we were out there everywhere. It's because God made a way where there seemed to be no way. And we're in the middle of everything, the big stuff, what I consider big stuff that God has shown me, like, the massive merger coming, we're right in the middle of that. The Antichrist, we're right in the middle of that. That's getting pretty obvious, I think, to some people now, that's not, I'm not just playing a game with that. That's not just something we're talking about. It's actually reality. It's actually happening. The two witnesses, that we don't have anything on that yet. But we're right. God has shown me that. I know I'm going to be a part of that. PGN is going to be a part of that. And also, some other things too. But anyway, those major things, when Biden became elected president, or when they announced him on November the 7th, that very day, God exploded in my belly. When I talk about this, I'm not just making this stuff up. This actually happened to me. The fear of God, the reverence of God exploded in my belly and erupted in there. And God said to me, he said, everything I've told you is going to now come to pass. Like soon, he didn't say soon, but he said it's now going to come to pass because of Biden becoming president, So that's when God began to change the way I looked at everything. Like, let's try to save America with Trump. Yeah, I'm into that. I want America saved. I want to preach the gospel without being. I want all that stuff, But when I began to see a new thing, and when he spoke to me that day, the very day Biden became elected or announced that he had won by CNN and Fox and all those, You know, and that happened in my belly. God said the reason for him being president is that now everything I've told you, which is those three or four major things, is going to happen now. I'm going like, whoa, what? That wasn't a good thing because I knew what he had talked to me about. And it wasn't necessarily a good thing. People, I said, God, if this is going to happen, people are going to start freaking out. People are going to freak out if this stuff starts, when it starts happening. I'm thinking if it happens, you know, because I was still struggling with it. And so what do we start happening? You know, the last thing that happened was that we gave the name of the Antichrist after 12 years of keeping it secret, you know, and giving some hints about it. And then 3 days later, the five red heifers in Israel, you know, you can't make this stuff up, man. And then plus a bunch of other stuff, you know, that's one of the major things lately. So, you know, I mean, it's like, you know, so all that happened with us not even really having a decent outlet to get out with except PGN, you know, except Blog Talk. That's basically, and I couldn't even get anything else going on. I tried. People don't know, but I'm working on stuff. I just kind of like said, okay, God, and God began to speak to me. He said, you know, I don't want anybody to take any credit, not anybody, not anything, not any outlet, not your spread everywhere, and that's what did it. You know, I'm going to spread you all. I'm going to put you right in the middle of everything and without having anybody get any credit for it. And then at the right time, then, of course, it's going to – the harvest of that, what you're talking about, is going to spread everywhere, whether it's, you know, however he does it specifically, partially, I don't know exactly, but he's going to have to be the one that's going to breathe on it. Because if he doesn't breathe on it, it'll just be another YouTube channel where people are talking about the end time. That's all it will be, you know. But when God breathes on something, when it's time, when that angel came and spoke to my ear and connected me supernaturally to the market realm, which I had no clue about any of it, he connected me with one word or four words. There's a massive merger coming. Five words. And so because it became time, man. And now I think we're at a place now. I don't know the exact timing, but we're really close to a harvest with this. And harvest with us, which means that people are going to find out what the word of the Lord's been all this time, and the secret that he's kept us a secret. We've kind of been a secret in a sense. A lot of well-known people know about us. A lot of financial people know about us. But as far as being globally known around the world, and that hasn't been because God, it wasn't time yet, you know. And so God was working on me, you know, changing some of my theology, changing some of my things, speaking to me through the word, giving me revelation about things, you know, changing me, you know, fixing me. You know, I need a lot of fixing, you know. And he's changing me and helping me. And now I think that because of the work he's done in Randy Chandler, that we're now more ready for that harvest when before we might not have been ready for it. So that's kind of it in a nutshell version. But
amazing, man. Yeah, there's just so many amazing words and on so many different topics. And you know, I thought about doing it too, just going through all your shows and trying to archive them and trying to, because so much you have said, and then it keeps building. And like, you know, 4 months ago you gave a word and then another word, and it's just, yeah, at some point, I agree. But my prayer for you is that, you know, as God opens that up for you, that you get some amazing computer techs and some other people in there to kind of alleviate that yoke on you, and for all of us, for the word of the Lord, so that all of us have more user-friendly trying to get the information that comes forth. So that's one of my prayers for you. And, man, what amazing stuff, you know, that like you said, there's just so much information and stuff. It's mind-boggling, but in so many different topics through PGN. Yeah, I love it, man. This is amazing,
really,
and
cool.
I love you, man. Veronica, thank you.
Yeah, it's really been cool, and I've, you know, God has been, you know, he's always working on me and preparing me, you know, because I have to be ready, and sometimes we think we're ready when we're not ready, you know, and I think all of us are like that. And then we go through some time of you know, and then God touches us and we go, wow, okay, wow, that was awesome. So, yeah, I don't understand all of it. I just know that that he wants to – like. Here's one of the things. I've been going through some of the – some. I've been actually going through some of the shows and listening to them and trying to find information. And I gave a word. Dude, I didn't even – I had forgotten about giving this word. I gave a word in 2011 or 2012. I got it on my notes somewhere, and I gave a word then, and on PGN because I listened to it myself. I couldn't even believe I said that. I said we are coming into a time of epidemics. We're in a season of epidemics, and I explained it a little bit, and I'm going like, what, epidemics? You know, and I wrote that down. I've got it on my the exact show and everything where it's at, but. I'm finding out stuff that I had forgot I had even said, you know, that the Lord said through me. I didn't know it, but God showed it to me, you know, that came out of my mouth. And I'm going like, wow, epidemics? And then, you know, that was long before the, you know, anyway, long before a lot of stuff happened. But I've been going through them.
That's the problem, Randy, is your whole show is prophetic. You know, some of these people get one word, and that's the only thing their ministry has done, and then it becomes famous all over the place because it's not that hard to archive it. I mean, you probably predicted almost everything that has happened. We just, I mean, when you have 3 hours of prophecy going at night, it's constant, nonstop prophecy, you know?
Nonstop, bro. I don't know about that, but that sounds good, But yeah, God is good, man. That's for sure. And long we stay broken before Him and know that we, who we are and who we're not, we're going to be fine. God will keep using us. That's for sure. He wants to talk. He wants to find people that He can use. But sometimes He has to break us a little bit, and then break us a little bit more, and break us a little bit more, because the you know what Paul went through, the thorn in the flesh thing, which I do believe was had to do with his pride, that he could have had pride. I mean, just like any of us can have pride. Because you got so much revelation, man. When you get so much revelation, you get so much stuff going on that's supernatural, dude. If you don't have some help staying humble, you're going to get arrogant. I don't care who you are. You will go through that. You may not actually become arrogant and live arrogant, but you will be tempted to go there. And believe me, if God doesn't keep a handle on you, you will be arrogant. I don't care. There's no human being that can handle the supernatural that Jesus walked in, or even Paul. Without, you know, having some help, you know. And so it's we have to be broken and ready for that stuff because we think we're ready, you know, we think we are. And God's going like, yeah, you don't even know what's inside you, man. But I'm going to show you pretty soon, but you're not even ready to know what's inside of you. Say, you know, yeah, like Peter denied the Lord. He didn't know that was in him. He didn't have a clue. So we got stuff inside of us, all of us do, every one of us do, that we just need help with, that God understands. He loves us anyway. But he says, I got to get that out of you. I got to squeeze that out of you before I can, you know, put my glory inside you. And so just like he did Peter when he told Peter, you're going to deny me, Lord. You're going to deny me, Peter. Oh, I'll never do that, Jesus. He didn't have a clue that was in him. Didn't have a clue. And Jesus gave him a sucker punch, you know, healed the guy's ear, embarrassed him in front of his friends, in front of his enemies. I just saved you, Jesus, and here you are rebuking me. You know, it broke him. It made him upset. And then in the garden, after the garden, of course, he denied the Lord, and then he didn't even know it was in him, but Jesus did. And you know what? Jesus didn't even care about it. He just said, you know, I know you think you're broken. I know you think you never deny me, Peter, but I see it in you. You know, I see it in you, and I still love you, and you're still going to be used by me mightily. But you're going to deny me, man. Oh, no, I will never. I don't have that in me. No way. And at the right pressure, at the right moment, he squeezed it out. He denied him. And Jesus knew that the fact that happened to him, it broke him. It broke him to a new level. And he came to Jesus after the resurrection and cooking fish. And he said, just feed my sheep, man. You can feed my sheep now, you know, because now you're broken. Now you're ready for that power of the Holy Spirit to come upon you. When before you weren't ready, but that made you ready. So there's things that we go through that make us ready, that they're difficult. It doesn't mean that we're sinners and bad people. And where God's trying to straighten us out from being a horrible sinner so much as it is that just stuff in us that because we're human beings and we need help. We need to be broken. And I still go through it. You know, not like sometimes in my life, but anyway. Okay. All right. Anything else before I'm going to move on? I'm going to try to move on.
Anything there?
God bless. Fun, man. Okay. Thank you, guys. We love you guys. Thank you, Soldier. We love you, Soldier, baby doll. You know, don't forget, Daddy loves you, and Uncle Randy loves you, too.
Oh, he's knocked out.
And Mommy
he's
loves
knocked
you.
Knocked out.
All right, man. Thank you.
I'll give you a testimony. Right. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. All right, you're welcome. Thank you. All right, let's go here to another caller here. Let's go. What do we got going on? People may be falling asleep right now. Who knows? I don't know. Whatever. You know, we just love it all. All right, 610-969. Who am I talking to from, please?
Shalom, shalom. This is Lisa. Raquel
from PA. Hey, Lisa.
Oh my goodness! What everything the show was hitting. I should have took notes. Wow, everything was. But I wanted to pray for Matthew. Deb is still on because when you guys are praying, I got a word. So I want to pray.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Okay, go ahead. Okay, go ahead. Sure.
Okay, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for Matthew. Father God, we lift him up, Lord God. And right now, Father God, we ask you that you would just reverse uncertainty and nervous anticipation, Father God, and that you would turn that around, Father, to hope and excited expectation, Father God, led by the Holy Spirit, Father, instead of compulsive, Father God, that you would turn that into spirit-led spontaneity and flexibility in the name of Yeshua, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. All right. Thank you.
Amen. All right. Thank you.
I let her know you were praying over her. She was listening or not.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Awesome.
All right.
Pray for you.
Pray for you.
And I can hear myself in the background, so you might fix that before I come back. If you can. It's coming back in my ear pretty good. All right, Lisa, thank you. Good. Thanks for praying. I don't know if Deborah heard that or not. She might have been bye-bye or something. I'm not sure. It's getting late. Some people got to get up and go to work or get up and do stuff, you know. And okay, now she says, thank you. I appreciate it, Lisa. Faithfulness. She says, appreciate Lisa. Faithfulness. Amen. All right. Thank you, Deborah. So she was listening, so that's good. All right. I wasn't sure. I texted her, let her know you were praying for her, and I guess she was listening, so good. Cool. All right, thank you, Lord, for Lisa tonight, God. We thank you, Lord, for the massive downgrade that we're giving the enemy of how we have, you know, how the body of Christ and people have, you know, made him more than what he is. You know, we need to know our enemy for sure, but people have, you know, I see God using you to bring, you know, Satan down to the level where he belongs. What Christ has done to him and what he has and what he doesn't have. A lot of people think he has things he doesn't have. And, you know, I personally don't know what that is exactly. I mean, I know stuff, but I don't know what he's talking about exactly. But the downgrade, that God's going to downgrade the influence of the enemy and start to bring more influence of what Jesus did on the cross and everything he paid for, and downgrading and bringing the downgrade to the enemy and Satan and to his, you know, lies and deceptions, because the thing that he does, if we believe wrong about him, he can lie to us and deceive us, and we can be in bondage about something that he doesn't even have any authority to have bondage over us about. You know what I'm saying? So downgrading the, you know, not, you know, lower or higher, but exactly the truth, you know, about Satan and even the deep things of Satan and all the things of Satan. And where the body of Christ, the power that the body of Christ has over him, his lies. And we thank you, Lord, for that. You're downgrading. Like people get downgrades, you know, you get an upgrade or downgrade. It's like we're getting upgrades and Satan's getting a downgrade. All right, because we're bringing him down to the ground, down to, you know, eventually, I don't know when this is going to happen. If it's already, I don't know how this is happening, what this is, but when Michael, the archangel, cast him down to the earth. I don't know. I don't have any answers about any of that. When, how, what, if it's already happened, it's going to happen. You know, I know it's going to happen if it hadn't already happened, but I don't understand the process of all that, but Satan was downgraded. I just thought about this for the first time. He was downgraded. He was in the heavenlies accusing for the Father, and the angels, like Michael was talking earlier, you know, was used to cast him down, giving him a downgrade. So, wow, I mean, that, look at that. I just realized what that was saying. I didn't even know what that was saying. I heard the word downgrade. I'm going like, you're giving Lisa a downgrade? No, Randy. The devil. Well, okay, yeah, I think it's you. Hey, amen. I don't know. You know, I'm just a servant. I'm the report boy. You know, I just give reports. And when I heard the word downgrade, I'm going like, downgrading who? Literally, it's what it went through my mind. And then I got that message. So, and wow, what an amazing thing that Satan gets a downgrade. Woo! Wow. I don't know. I don't know what to say about that. That's pretty amazing. All right, let's get on here and let's see what's happening. But all right, there you go.
Shalom, hallelujah. Is this better, Prophet Randy? Because
yes,
I had the Bluetooth on before.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Hallelujah, mm-hmm. Hallelujah. I always say he's our defeated foe. He's under my feet. He's disarmed, dethroned, you know, defeated. And so, and then also how, you know, he was stripped and made a spectacle, and, you know, all power and authority has been given over to us. So, amen. But
oh,
I would like
cool.
to see the downgrade. So, hallelujah,
yeah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. So, Prophet
yeah.
Randy, everything from tonight was just like, it really ministered to me from giving over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh and being thrown out to outer darkness. That really ministered to me because that's a scripture that comes up a few times, you know, over the years for me in situations that I'm dealing with. Also with the Saul and Samuel thing,
yeah.
You know, it was so interesting how, like, I was looking at that and I looked at that before. And then how the next chapter in 16, how he was still grieving. Like, he was the priest, he was the prophet, he was a judge, but he was an intercessor as well because he was grieving over Saul, you know,
right.
And then that's when God rejected him. And, you know, I was like, it's so amazing to me how he, as a prophet, judge, priest, already didn't bring the forgiveness. Like, he knew what was up. Like, he's not going to, you know, co-sign, like we said, co-sign. Like, he wasn't going to forgive him, you know, or he wasn't going to grant his request. But at the same time, he was still grieving over him to the point that, you know, Father had to tell him, you know,
right,
to stop grieving, right, because he had rejected him.
Yeah,
but he
did.
Told him that after. So I just thought, I was just, like, really meditating on that. I was like, wow. Like, he...
Okay.
Had like the discernment to know, no, I'm not going to forgive you. But at the same time, his heart was still grieving for him. I thought that was so interesting, like the heart of the intercessor to the point that Father God had to tell him, Jehovah, Yahweh, had to tell him, Adonai, had to tell him, stop, I have rejected him, stop grieving for him. Isn't that interesting? Like, he didn't forgive him, but he still grieved him. So I was meditating on that. That was pretty deep tonight, everything. And I wanted to tell you, there's so many things I want to tell you. I want to tell you two things, but sticking with that subject, with when you went to the book of John and Peter having the ability, I guess, not the ability, he had, like, the mandate, I guess, as a, like a
yeah.
judge, I guess, you know, like, to, because he was also given the keys to the kingdom, right, to bind and to loose, and then he was also the one that Jesus blew on all of them, but he told Peter, right, specifically, that he had to remit the sins or retain them, and then I think that's how the Catholic Church has their, you know, their confession thing,
right.
And then how
yeah.
we forgive our sins one to another, we are forgiven. So that priestly function in there. Years ago, you prophesied over me, and or the Lord, you know, spoke that, and now it's coming about. Like, I always meditate on that. I get more and more about that. Like, what does that really mean? Like, I try to grasp a hold of it, but I have to get it through revelatory, you know, insight about how it's, like, more or less speaking the judgment of God, right, the forgiveness. Because we're supposed to forgive always, but I guess when he told him, when he told Peter that, it was like a functioning, like it, like if the sins are forgiven, I guess it's like through repentance. Like, how would you expound on that a little?
Well, it's a difficult subject for me, you know. I mean, I've talked about it a lot. I don't know that I understand all of it. I don't think I understand all of it, but what little bit I do understand is that, you know, it's just like when we say to people, you know, be healed, you know, like Jesus said, because they were mad at him because he said, your sins are forgiven you, get up and walk. In other words, you're healed. Your sins are forgiven you, get up and heal. Get up. In other words, whatever sin it was, or his sins in general, whatever was going on, Jesus said, your sins are forgiven you, and that healed him. Right? So they said, well, how can you forgive sins? And only God can do that. And so Jesus said, well, what was it easier for me to say, you know, what did he say? Was it easier for me to say?
Be healed and get up and walk, or?
Yeah, be healed and get up and walk, or your sins forgive. It's like people don't understand that. Thank you for that help. Then I get love. But yeah, so what happens is we have the power, the same power that we have that works and heals people is the same redemptive power of Christ Jesus. That's what's happening. Their body's being redeemed. Their body's been healed. And it's all the same, basically the same thing. We're activating what Christ has done. We're not healing people, but we're speaking that healing virtue. And because it's coming out of our mouth and from our priesthood, then we're applying Jesus, you know, forgiveness in Jesus, you know. So whatever the thing is, that they're forgiven, you know, they're forgiven. And so, yeah, if somebody is asking God to forgive them and they mean it, see, but the point I was making tonight with that with Saul was that Saul, even though he said, forgive me, he wasn't really, his heart was not right. So it's a heart issue. So I think that though Samuel had forgiven him, maybe, you know, obviously, I think he knew he had to do that. But the thing was that, you know, he was letting him know that God has not forgiven you for this. It's not just me. It's God. God is saying, I'm not forgiving you. And so that it wasn't a personal forgiveness. It was a authority forgiveness, you know. And just like with who was it? Jacob and Esau. It said Esau sought repentance with great tears, weeping in tears, right? And God didn't forgive him. He said, I'm not going to forgive you. That's what it said. I have to read it exactly, but find that scripture. Somebody can find that scripture for me. That'd be awesome. Where Esau wasn't forgiven by God, even though he sought it with great, you know, repentance. So there's something there that we've been missing, I think. And that is, you know, sometimes people just need to have to be told by a human being that flows in the priesthood, so to speak, you know, the priesthood of the believer, the priesthood of Christ, whatever. You don't have to be a fivefold ministry priest, so to speak, to speak this. You know, if you're a believer, I think we have that authority as a believer to tell somebody they're having trouble forgiving themselves, right? And they're sick because of it, whatever. So you have to tell them sometimes, you know, I know you feel bad about your sin, and you kept asking God to forgive you, and you can't seem to break free. But you know what? I'm going to tell you something now. You are forgiven of your sin. So we're not forgiving them, but it's that we have the power to release the remittance power of God, the forgiveness power of God, so that people can hear. You mean he asked? You think he's really forgiving me? Of course he's forgiving. You are forgiven. I've done that with people. I've seen people get blessed. I've prayed over them, knowing that they have some deep issues from deep issues with their father. This one person had some deep issues with their father, and some things their father did to them was horrible, you know. And so they blamed them, like most children do. They blame themselves for it, right? So I knew that, and I'm praying over them, and I'm saying, you know what? The Lord says, tell her, tell this person now. So I'm telling them, you know, you are, so just sit down and relax, just try to relax and just try to let me, trust me that I'm going to be, that God's going to, I said, you know, you are innocent. You are innocent with that, with your father. You are innocent. That was not your fault. You are forgiven. You are innocent, blameless. You are not guilty of that. You are not guilty. You are forgiven. So what was I doing? I was speaking to them about something that they had trouble forgiving themselves for, and they had really nothing to do with it. They were aggressed by a grown-up, you know, and they felt, you know, like it was their fault. Like somehow they did it, you know, though they had nothing to do with it. So sometimes we need to, the shame and the guilt people feel, they need somebody, a man or woman of God, to tell them, you know, I know you blame yourself for this, even though you think you've forgiven yourself. You can tell the shame is still on you. So I'm going to release you from that. You are forgiven. You are, get up off this bed of affliction. You are forgiven. You are washed clean. You are innocent. You're just as if you never sinned, just as if this never happened to you. And you're blaming yourself. You are blameless. I call you blameless before God. You see what I'm saying? So I think that we personally don't know whether somebody's getting right with God, like Samuel. He really wasn't getting right with God. He wanted forgiveness, but his heart was not in it. You know, so it's, and God knew that, and God told Samuel, his heart's not in it. He's not going to change. So don't forgive him. You know, don't restore him. And so he was not restored for what, 15 years after that even? And yeah, so it was a mess.
We're kingdom ambassadors, you know, like we are the mouthpieces when we are in that function, the priestly mode.
And they need to hear it. They need to hear that, even though they know, you know, I don't think sometimes they really do know. I think that children, in this particular circumstance that I'm talking about, which is, I just did this recently with someone, it hasn't been that long ago, and they were dealing with some sicknesses and some things, and they couldn't seem to get their healing, right? They couldn't seem to get a breakthrough. And I'm an intercessor too. I'm a prayer warrior. I'm a prayer person. I was birthed into the, you know. And so I'm going like, God, and my spirit was burdened. I said, what's going on with this person? He said, you need to speak over them that they're carrying the guilt of the things that happened. It's keeping them from getting their healing. So I started speaking. So I spent, you know, and I spent, I'm not talking about for 30 seconds. I'm talking about it went on and on. And I'm reading scriptures about, you know, you're not guilty. You are forgiven. You're not guilty. You are not. And I wouldn't just say it once or twice. I would say it over and over. You are not guilty. You, and I'd mention her name, are not guilty. You are not guilty. And so sometimes it takes, if it's a deep, deep wound, sometimes it takes, you know, deep speaking. And sometimes you have to do it over and over and over again. And then one day it's like they wake up and they go, my God, I'm not guilty. I'm going, yeah, I've been praying that over you for 3 weeks. You finally got it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, because the deeper the wound, many times people don't get their healing and their breakthroughs because they feel the guilt and shame of it, even though they know better, you know, so to speak. They've heard teaching about it, but they need someone who can flow in the Holy Spirit and just tell them. You see what I'm saying? So, you know, and I've seen this change people's heart and their spirit. You know, I mean, it's amazing how this realm, and we could talk about this in so many different dimensions, but that's one of them.
That's good, because like the trauma wound and then the frequency of that, you're speaking it. I get it. Like why it would take, you know, to repeat it and speak it.
How many times over the years, like this person is up in age a little bit, how many times over the years, without them even realizing they're doing it, they keep telling themselves they're guilty. Well, you know, if I hadn't, you know, been so cute, like a little girl, you know, if I hadn't been so cute, if I hadn't have ran across the living room in front of my daddy naked, you know, like little kids do, it's just a little kid thing. You know, maybe that's my fault because he, you know, and so they blame themselves for things that are totally just a lie from hell. And little girls want to flirt with their daddy, but they don't expect their daddy to have sex with them, you know. You know what I'm saying? Or try to do stuff with them. You know, I could talk about this with men, but I could talk about it in all kinds of things. I've seen it. So they as a child, they can't figure out, you know, they blame themselves. And especially if the parent plays games with them, like you tell mommy, you know, you're going to be, you drew me into this. This is your, you know, and parent. And so some, you know, I get really upset with this stuff, but I've seen this. So what they need to have is just somebody tell them. So how many times from the time that happened to them as a child, did they tell themselves, yeah, but you deserve that. Yeah, but you did something. Yeah, but it was your fault. Yeah, but you drew. It's a little 5-10-year-old girl, you know, sexually sexy for their, no, uh-uh. No, that's a perversion, you know, and their father or whoever, brother or, you know, uncles or whatever they're doing that stuff for them, that they edge so deep that as many times that they've been told, they tell themselves that, sometimes it takes a lot of times telling them over and over and over again, you know, that you're innocent. Because all the times they told, they've so convinced themselves with so many layers of it that they need to be unconvinced. You see what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Like, the deeper it is,
yes. Also
the deeper the wound. Yeah.
From a person of authority, you know, spiritual authority. So I see why. And then I remember back in the day, Dr. Phil, remember Dr. Phil? Remember him?
Oh, yeah.
I think he was saying that you have to say something 7 times positive over the 1 time negative. I think I remember something like that.
Oh, wow. That makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So, to shift gears, Prophet Randy, I was wondering if you have anything about, like, with, what's his name, the Evelyn D. Rothschild. I don't think that was by, I don't think that's like, a, you know, I think everything means something. I just don't know what it means because I didn't get to go into the family tree. But Evelyn D. Rothschild died like last
right.
week.
Right, I heard
so
that.
So I was
yeah.
wondering if that was like, I didn't get to, you know, like I said, I didn't get to look at the family tree and what's the relation. Like, I
yeah,
know
yeah,
it's
yeah,
the relation, but I don't know how close. I know that Evelyn's father was Anthony or Antonio or something. Like, they have the same great-grandfather or great-great-grandfather.
Exactly. Yes.
Basically. So they must be cousins,
yeah.
I guess.
I think they're probably cousins, yeah. Yeah, I don't know either. I haven't looked specifically to that. But the fact that he's now out of the way, I don't know if he was still, you know, he was the one that was, you know, the financial advisor of the Queen for a long time.
Yeah.
Right?
You're
familiar with that? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So he was a financial advisor.
I could send you something
Queen.
If you need, if it was a long, long thing in The Guardian. I could send that to you if you're interested.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine. But yeah, it's very timely. I mean, think about what happened. I mean, we just announced.
That's what I was thinking.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very timely. Yeah, I think Jeff sent that to me. Jeff let me know that I didn't know that he had died. He keeps up with that stuff. And he sent it to me, and so I was aware of it. Yeah, I think it's been a week or so. I can't remember exactly, but I've got the text somewhere. But yeah, it's definitely. You know, the timing is very strategic. So there's some younger generation that's taken their place, you know, and I don't know exactly what place. I don't have any word on what particular thing is being done. But when the night that I gave the information about on the night the Queen died, the day the Queen died, and I gave the information, I started talking about how the Antichrist family is the financial advisors for the Queen and for the, you know, the royal family and everything. And so, yeah, I even had the thought and never ask anybody. I don't have any proof of it. I can't prove it. But I had the thought going through my head, what if he dies soon? You know, what's next? It's like, so when Jeff sent that to me, I went, oh, my Lord and my God. So it's just a kind of another, I think, a bit of information confirmation that, you know, like I said, I can't prove that. I like to try to document everything, but I did never send to Jeff, you know, that I had that thought and that it would mean something if he died. And then he was dead, you know, a couple of weeks later, but I can't prove that. But it God is my witness, and that's what I was thinking. So, yeah, it's important. I don't have a detailed information.
Another puzzle piece, like another puzzle piece. That's how I look at it. Like,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so. Exactly. Very
And also before, yeah, right? Because, like, just, yeah, because of the timing with the queen and, like,
yeah,
how
exactly. Yeah.
Just everything. Mm-hmm. And how, yeah. And if you read the whole history, I'm sure Jeff knows more. He could fill us in. If you read the whole history, he might even know, like, the relation to, you know, AC.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I texted you when I was asking you for like over a year now. Like I would always text that to you. AC is the AC. I would put AC equals and then I would put the name with a question mark. And you never would never tell me. Do you remember that, Prophet Randy? Did you get those texts? Did you get those text messages?
What text message are you talking about, dude?
I would send you these messages of AC equals.
I asked you to send them to me again. Yeah, did you ever do that?
No, I don't think I did. I don't remember. But I had to look at my old phone. That was my old phone.
You know. Yeah, I probably did. I get a lot of texts from a lot of people, and I get information all the time. And sometimes I don't read them. Sometimes I just see them. I don't really, you know, I get so much information. Sometimes I don't even like to go where people, they send me information, and I don't even want to go there yet. You know, it's like I need a break, you know. So I'm sure it's there. I could look it up and see, but.
That's okay. No big deal.
I'm sure.
Before we get off the phone, Prophet Randy, would you pray for Andre and his family, his son, it's just everything. Can you just pray for him, please, so I can record it and let him listen to it?
Okay. All right. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Okay. And I'm trying to find that text from Jeff. I don't know where that text from Jeff is. We might have talked about his relationship. I don't remember. Let me look that up. I was looking that up as you were talking. That's why I didn't catch quite what you were saying. Okay, yeah, there he did send it. Okay, some Sir Evelyn said he was the main finance arm of the family to the crown, so very key death. This is Jeff sent this to me on Tuesday, November the 8th, 5:15. Financier Sir Evelyn de Rothschild dies at 91. Uncle to Nat. Okay, so it's uncle. He said he believed that it was uncle. I knew he said something about that. I was looking that up when you were talking. I was trying to look up Jeff here. And uncle to Nat, I believe, he says. So he did look that up. I'm just letting you know that. I think you asked that question. And plus other people might want to know, too. It's kind of a big subject. But, send stuff to me and let me know. I get a whole lot of stuff, man. And I'm looking at stuff all the time. I get emails people send me, and I try to get to them. And sometimes I don't answer them because I don't know what to say because they're so, you know, great questions. But sometimes I don't know the answer to some stuff. I don't know the answer to anything, really, unless God showed me. But y'all pray for me, man. I got a lot going on. There's a lot going on. So, okay, and you wanted me to pray for, what was his name? Andre. I'm getting tired, so. It's only midnight, and I'm already tired? Wow. How can that be? It's been an intense night, a wonderful night, great night. But a lot goes on in 3 hours, right? 9, 10, 11, 12. What am I looking for here? And a lot goes on during the show that you guys don't hear on my end or see on my end. It gets people asking me questions and sending me stuff during the show, right in the middle of talking to people. So there's a lot that goes on, y'all. And sometimes, you know, I get stuff. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes I get it, and I don't even read it because I can't handle it right now. So you have to send me stuff, you know, again and again. And sometimes if I don't get it, not that I'm ignoring you most of the time. Sometimes I do ignore some things. But it's true, so I'm not going to lie. Sometimes I just ignore things, yeah. And God tells me to do things. I just do what he says, and I don't have to explain what I do every time, you know, with everybody, as you guys know. So, So if you're not getting an answer from me, then you may not ever get an answer from me. I don't know whether you will or not. But you need to respect and not. Okay. All right, somebody else is texting me here. Hang on a second. Yeah, we're going to be on, I think I'm not guaranteed we're going to be on YouTube again, but it looks like that has opened up for you guys asking that question. We'll see. I don't know. I really don't know. I'm very interested in getting out there somewhere, but it's got to be God's and God's time. Just like the Antichrist name, the timing on that has to be timing. Has to be timing. And I can try. If it's not God, I waste my time. And I don't like to waste my time. Right, and sometimes, you know, things waste my time, and I'm trying to do something that the timing's not quite yet, and people get mad at me, they don't understand. If it's not timing, forget it. You're not going to get nothing out of me, you know. I'm not going to get nothing out of me, you know, because it's not going to work. That's because timing and God's thing, and if you have a problem with that, then, you know, whatever. So, all right. Thank you for those questions, and let's pray for Andre. Thank you, Lord, for Andre. In Jesus' name, I rebuke you, Satan, in Jesus' name, off my brother. I rebuke you, you're a liar, in Jesus' name. I speak over him that he is forgiven, that he is not guilty. I know that people do things wrong and get busted for it. You know, I should have been busted for things. I did. You know what? But those who have sinned and fallen short, which is every one of us, we need to have somebody speak over us that we are forgiven, that we are released. Sometimes we keep thinking we deserve this mess, we deserve this, and yet we hate it, and yet we feel like on the inside that we carry the guilt and shame of something that we even did. You know what? When God forgives us, friend, when God forgives us, we are forgiven. But sometimes, even though God forgives us, this is for Andre, when God forgives us, sometimes we have to have someone speak over us that, yes, we sin that sin, but you know what? I am no longer guilty. If the blood of Jesus works, then I'm no longer guilty, and it works. It works. But sometimes we have to be convinced of it. We have to be convinced. Oh, don't you know? Yeah, so we bury it. The whole time we're thinking, yeah, well, I know they're not going to let me go because I deserve to be in here. I know they're going to let me go because I deserve to be in here. I know they're going to let me go. I know I'm not. People say this. I deal with this all the time. People say, in their hearts, they say this. Oh, I know I'm not going to be healed because I don't deserve it. And yet they'll be going, oh, Jesus, heal me, God, deliver me, oh, God, deliver me. In their hearts. They don't mean to. It's not they're doing it on purpose. It's that there's a process we have to deal with. We have to release them from that shame and that guilt that, yes, they sinned. Yes, they deserved it. But when Jesus came along, you know, that it's just as if we never did it. And so we have to convince. The Bible says convict, to convict people. Convict means to convince them that they're no longer guilty. There's no more shame with that. Yeah, you may you may have done exactly what they said you did and more. Maybe you did stuff that they didn't even catch you for. It doesn't matter to me. You know, we got to be convinced, the convincing of the Lord to convince us that we're innocent. You know, we're now new creatures. And it washes that shame away and that guilt away. And then when a door opens up for us to be healed, we get healed. When a door opens up for us to get set free, we get set free. Why? Because we're no longer in agreement with that. And so when people say, yeah, you're up for parole or you're up for, you know, go to the healing service, you get there and on the inside you're going like, I know I don't deserve to be healed because I know I did this and I did that. And even though God's forgiven me, I know I don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. So that thing goes on inside them, and yet on the outside they're lifting their hands going, Jesus, please heal me. And on the inside, something completely different going on. I'm guilty. I know. I deserve this. No, we gotta reverse that. Reverse that. Reverse that. Reverse that. Reverse that. That's where faith confession may come in good. Telling yourself, I'm forgiven. I am forgiven. I am forgiven. Sometimes we need to have somebody else telling us, you are forgiven. Sometimes when you go visit him, speak over him, you are forgiven. You got those things right. If you got those things right with God, you no longer bear the shame of that. You no longer are guilty. You no longer deserve it. He has forgiven you. You are cleansed. You are washed. It's just as if you never did it, whatever it was and is. It doesn't matter. And God forgives. He's the higher authority. But we need to be able to speak to people. You are forgiven until they get it. And when they get it, you know what? The next time they have parole, they're probably get something inside that's going to be radiating out. Let me go. I'm free. I don't deserve anything. They're going to be going like, you know what, sir? We decide we're going to let you go. You deserve to be free. You're going like, really? I believe it now. Something like, you know. So this is part of the process, part of the thing. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, for setting my brother free of shame and guilt and whatever the thing it would be. That all on the outside we say, yeah, I know I'm righteous. I'm holy before God. Yeah, you better believe it. I'm serving God. Ow, I'm holy before you. You know, on the inside it's like, yeah, I know I deserve it because, you know. That's what we got to deal with, is what's in the heart, what's in the soul, what's deep down in there. And we all do that. It's our nature. That's why I take communion, you know, on a very regular basis every day. Because, you know, that I have a vent toward that. I'll blame myself for somebody else's mess that I had nothing to do with. Well, you know, if I'd have done that, you know, I'd take communion. Thank you, Jesus, especially when you try to walk in the supernatural realm. Condemnation and guilt is trying to hit you every day. That's the thing that stops most people. Thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me. I am forgiven. I am forgiven. Yes, I did that. You know, when you forgive me, we got to start believing what the Word of God says. And sometimes, like I say, we have to have it spoken to us over and over again by you know, a friend or a servant in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's go here to another caller, 469-553. Who am I talking to you from, please? Are you there?
Hi, it's Barbara.
Hey, Barbara. All right, Barbara. Thank you. I almost missed you there. Thank you, Lord, for Barbara, God. I thank you, Lord, for this whole thing of forgiveness, God, that people need to know they're forgiven. There's sometimes when a word is released on a show, you know, it's not that every person is going to get that word. Cause, you know, y'all know, y'all been on a lot of, you know, that doesn't happen. But sometimes it does. Sometimes there's something going on in the spirit realm and why forgiveness is so powerful. Forgiveness is so amazing. It's when Jesus forgave us of our sin, that meant that our sins got forgiven of our, which touches our financial debt, because our debts are forgiven, our sinful debts are forgiven, and sin touches every area. When Adam and Eve sinned, they didn't just sin with money. If they had just been judged of the sin of, you know, eating something they shouldn't have eaten, then they'd have been cursed with an eating thing. But no, that sin made them guilty of the curse. They got cursed. And every one of the law says when you're guilty of one thing, you're guilty of all things. Because it's the same thing. What happened with them? It touched every area of their life. Poverty, strickenness, the curse hit every area of their life. It didn't just hit the eating thing. It just, God just didn't say, okay, now that you've eaten the apple you're supposed to, now all apples are all for you. You can no longer eat apples. They can still prosper financially. They can still prosper, you know. But no, it hit everything. It hit everything. So sin and forgiveness of sin hits everything. It affects everything. You may say you're forgiven of that thing you did, whatever it was, big, small, little, whatever the thing is. You speak, they're forgiven of it. Sometimes when they know they're forgiven, that's why Jesus would tell people you're forgiven, because he knew that in that particular person's life, that the reason he had to say that is because there was some sin they had done, whatever, that was connected to that. He saw the connection. He saw that they were sick because of the sin, so he had to say, you're forgiven of that sin. They were like going, how did you know I beat myself up every day over that sin? Because Jesus knew, you know. He understood. He knew. And sometimes they had nothing to do with sin. They had to, but overall, sin. That's why he came to bring forgiveness of sin, because sin condemns everything. Even if you commit one sin, it condemns everything. And also, if you get right with God, you know, that one right thing you did with getting born again, that getting your sin, being born again, and being getting your sins forgiven. You know, and the born again relationship that goes on, experience that touches every area, but we don't get taught that. We think, you know, we don't understand that. Like under the law, we sin one time with one sin, we're guilty of all sins. Well, you know, but when we accept Christ as our Savior, we get forgiven, and we get born again. You know, everything is restored, but we need to be taught it and told it. You're no longer guilty. You no longer have shame. So people can honestly, on the inside, open themselves up to, you know, being blessed. That's why the sin message and forgiveness of sin is so powerful. People need to know it. They need to know that's the thing they deal with the most. That's why people hate themselves. I don't understand why that person's so grouchy. Why they're so mean. They're the meanest Christian I know. Yeah, you know why? But if Jesus would hear and he could look right inside, he would see that some kind of sin that went on when they were 7 years old or 15 years old that they did or somebody did to them, they still carrying the shame of that thing on the inside. And he would walk up, you know what he did? He'd walk up to them. He knew that was connecting them to that thing. He would say, you know what? That sin, you're forgiven of that sin. You know what? And they're going, oh my God. And it goes so deep and goes so, and hits that one thing and it unlocks their whole life to victory in Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Anyway, so I guess we're in that vein tonight, I'm sure. Hey, Barbara, what is up over there in Texas?
Well, I'm just enjoying the show and how the Lord has just broken us into pieces and we're climbing the upward way. We're moving into that new transition, the higher height. So I was just soaking it all in, and some people don't understand about the brokenness. You know, they think it's just some religious thing. But when the Lord get ready to use you and transition you, you know, like I was talking about the metaphor, when the Lord starts doing that, then that's where we humble ourselves and receive. And so I was just thinking about all of that and just looking at my life and how I can flow and how I can just thank God for what he's already done. And it's just, it's just amazing how God can do things that you thought that wouldn't happen or would take a long time. But he said, if it's your time and your season, then it will happen. And I was just thinking about when you said something about revivals and how we would go out, we would do things, and the gift of healing. And I began to think about many nights, different ones, you guys prayed for me when I had the back injury. And right. I'm no longer taking any pills for it.
Oh, my
so
goodness.
I was just thinking, God, that when you get broken to pieces and had two major back surgeries, I don't look like
yep.
anything I've been through. And people are still trying to figure that out. So I'm just like, the lady asked me, like, you want me to pray for anything you want? I said, really? There's a lot of things that would need here, but I just can't think of anything. Because
wow.
I was just so excited, just elated about what the Lord is doing in this season. And I'm down
that's
to amazing. Two pills, and they really vitamins. And
vitamins are good.
That is it. Yeah,
that is
and that's all I
well,
have to take.
Well, you've been working with that thing for a long time, girl. So I know that you
mm-hmm.
God has been doing a great number in you. You know, I know
yes.
people pray for you and everything, and that's part of it. But you know, your faith in God and just persistence
mm-hmm.
has you know what does it. So you keep going to God. You wrestle. Mm-hmm. You don't let go till you get it right. That's the way Barbara is.
Never we wrestle day and night all day. We have the authority,
yeah.
and we just tore it all down. With nothing left. You either heal or you got to go. And I've stuck
yeah.
with that for many years, and you would look at me and like, wow, there's nothing wrong with her. She doesn't look like what she's been through. And so I'm just grateful because the doctor told me, he said, there's no way you can stop taking this medicine cold turkey. I said, well, I decided it, and God decided it, and I feel good about it. He said, no, we need to leave you on half of it. I said, no, I'm sorry, I'm just not one of those kinds. He said, no, that means no. So I was just grateful to hear that
yeah.
I'm no longer leading all this. I mean, it just made me feel like they're milking my insurance. And so I said, I don't need that. I'm not the type that has to take it and keep taking it. I feel like you should have got well sooner or later.
Yeah.
So they test your blood, the level of your blood, and making sure we're okay. I said, yeah, but you
yeah.
should have been done checked. And you should have did that a long time ago. I mean, I've lost
oh.
all the weight you wanted me to lose. I lost 167
right.
pounds.
Oh, my
and
God.
So I'm proud of it. Yeah, I was weighing 119, and I stopped taking the medicine. Then I began to weigh, like, maybe 125. I felt really good
wow.
about that. But nobody
that is,
wouldn't really
recognize
it. You and others that saw me at the revival.
Okay. Oh.
Yeah.
That is amazing.
Yeah. Yep, it's been off for years. The doctor recommended, he said, well, he said, young lady, you're about the first person that ever did this surgery, and you kept your weight off for 3 years. He said, we don't get that kind of people in. I said, well, now that has happened, now it's time to grow a little bit.
Yeah.
It reminded me of a butterfly transformation.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, that's pretty
so,
hard when your back's messed up. It's hard to exercise and hard to, you know, do things that you can, you know, I mean, I don't know what your situation, but you got a back issue, man. That affects everything. You can't, it's hard to do much of anything. So that is amazing. Hello? I guess I lose her. I guess she hung herself up. I didn't hang her up. I guess she hung herself up there. Bless her heart. I wanted to hear about that. That was pretty cool. All right. And you can't call back in because it's after midnight. So I guess that. Yeah. Barbara, we love you. All right. Glad we got to pray for you before we lost you there. Let's go to 334-590. I'm going to talk to her from this. Jayla, I think. Probably asleep. All right, 334-590. Are you there? Are you there? Okay, I guess bless her heart. She's asleep. Probably. All right, 251-229. Who am I talking to you from, please? This is Sarah. Sarah, are you? Is it Sarah? I don't know if it's Sarah or not. 251-229. Hello. Okay, I don't know who that was actually. All right, that's too bad. That's my last call with their hand up, so I guess I'm going to call it a night. It's after midnight, 12:20. All right, y'all. What a great night. We had a great night. Get to talk to a few people. And awesome. Tuesday night, tomorrow's Wednesday night. Tomorrow is a night that we pray over everybody, so please call in if you can. And, you know, if you guys send me text, you know, I'd have this happen all the time. People send me text, and I either don't respond to it because they send me a lot of them or whatever, and I, you know, send them to me again. You know, just if you need to give some people text things to me to document things. They will get a word or they get information or something. And so when you put it on your, if you sent that to me or you sent it to anybody, that's documentation. So you can take a photo shot of that, a screenshot of your phone or your computer or whatever, and send it. You know, if it needs to be documented stuff, you want to send it here, it'll be on my phone or my computer forever, I guess, unless somebody takes it away. But, yeah, please send that to me and let me know about that. So we love documentation stuff. And people ask me a lot, how come you didn't answer my text? Well, you need to just send it to me again. That's not rejecting you. I'm not just send it to me again. So if you can do that, that would be awesome. If you can't, then we'll just move on with it. All right. So awesome. Good show tonight. Hallelujah. Good to be with you guys tonight. Been really a great night. And don't get unforgiveness in your heart. Start turning whiny. I know about that one. You'll get whiny when they get unforgiveness. You know, you can hear it in their voice. And, you know, we've all had it, and we all get it. And we can get it any time, any moment, any day. It can happen to any one of us. So, oh, that person got unforgiveness. Yeah. And we can all get unforgiveness. Easy. So we have to watch it and stay clean. I have to watch myself and stay clean. I deal with a lot of crazy people sometimes. And I say crazy, I mean, you know, sometimes people get mad at you, they get aggressive with you, they try to back you in a corner, do whatever, you know what? And I have to forgive people too. I can get unforgiveness just as easy as anybody else. I have to watch my heart on a regular basis. So do the same, watch your heart, make sure you're not being bitter and whiny, because people, you can't hear it, but the sad thing about it, that you can't hear it, but people can hear it. They can hear it. Yeah, they can hear it. I have people, oh yeah, are they having a problem? I don't like. I just always act like I don't know. I don't know. None of your business. It's just really pray for them if you think they do. Yeah, they get whining. Maybe they got unforgiveness. Hey, it can happen to any of us. So pray for them when you hear that. That's one thing about internet radio. You can hear the voice. You can't really see their face, but you can hear it in their voice. And even though they try to act like it's not there, you know, and I've done that. You try to go on like, okay, I don't really have that. And you got it. It shows up in your voice. Very, very easy to hear. So ask God to help you with it. We all do it. It's no condemnation of Christ Jesus for sure. All right. See you tomorrow night. We love you guys. Bye.